Well, it's my pleasure to be able to welcome you this evening. We appreciate all of you being here. As I hope you're aware, this is the first of four efforts this year to, in effect, take City Hall and come out into the community. We hope it's an opportunity for you to get a chance to see the sort of issues that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, get a better understanding of that. And I would tell you it's also an opportunity for us to get a chance to visit with you and understand the issues. I've always found in my life it's better to get out in the field. You have much better appreciation than sitting back, in this case, at City Hall. We would like to begin this evening, first of all, with an invocation. And for that, I'd like to ask Councilmember Von Sill Hill. Councilmember Hill, not only in addition to being a council member, is a former judge and is a pastor. She is a graduate of the Perkins School at SMU, Perkins School of Theology. Could we rise for the invocation? Councilmember Hill?
Good, gracious, and almighty God, God of yesterday, God of today, and God of tomorrow, we, your created people, pause before you now to invoke your choicest blessings upon this gathering this evening. God, I give you thanks that you have brought us this far on the way. I thank you for my elected colleagues and pray that you bless each of us in a mighty way. But God, I also ask that your spirit spread out over this entire audience this evening and that this gathering be to your glory and honor. And God, I want to ask one more thing. I ask that you touch each person in this room at his or her greatest point of need, and that you heal in a mighty way. This is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Hill. Mr. Atkins, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd now like to introduce Dan Pickering, who's representing Dalton Lott, who's the owner of Jet Center of Dallas, for a welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council. I am speaking tonight in behalf of Dalton Lott, who is the owner of Jet Center of Dallas, which includes this facility and several others on the airport property. Mr. Lott is currently out of the country on business. Maybe you had the deal where your boss calls you up the day before and says, I'm going to be gone. Would you take care of that for me? That's why I'm here. It's my privilege to welcome you tonight to Dallas Executive Airport and to Jet Center of Dallas. First, we'd like to thank the City Council for the investment you have already made in Dallas Executive Airport, including the new terminal, the new tower, and the landscaping. We absolutely love it. As you can see by this facility, we have also made a major investment in this facility at the airport. Much good work has been accomplished here already, but frankly, much remains to be done. My time tonight is short, so I've detailed my thoughts in a letter to each of you. I'd just like to leave you with right now with two points to think about. First, to make this airport a success, we need a longer runway. The next generation of private executive aircraft needs a 7,000-foot runway to land a Gulfstream or to safely take off a big Falcon aircraft. Second, we desperately need a coordinated marketing campaign to heighten awareness of the airport in the aviation community nationwide. This is a jewel of a facility and is the best-kept secret in America. We need to tell our story and tell it well. When decisions are made, we hope you'll remember what you heard from the people who live and work here every day, people who have already put their time, money, and effort where their heart is, right here at Dallas Executive Airport. So it is our pleasure to say welcome to our facility. We're pleased to have you here. Thank you very much.
Mr. Pickering, thank you. We appreciate it very much. Let me give just a brief outline of the agenda, and then I'm actually going to ask Ms. Hill to update us on some events that have taken place in the last week or so. Our agenda this evening, first of all, we'll have a briefing that will be put on by the Director of Economic Development. It's a very important one. A very high priority of this council is to see some real progress being taken in the southern part of our city in the economic development area. This will outline the framework and some of the strategies and tactics for accomplishing that. Then after that, there'll be a number of items that will be considered by the council, largely dealing with issues here in the southern part of our city. Before we get into that, and I turn it over to Mr. Zabakowski, Ms. Hill, could I ask you to give a brief overview of your time in Washington recently?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I had the extraordinary privilege on Valentine's Day of being invited to Washington, D.C. by Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson to testify for the city of Dallas concerning Brownfields legislation. Brownfields legislation is legislation which allows urban areas to take land which otherwise would not be useful and turn that land into livable and commercially viable space. An example in Dallas is the American Airlines Center space and Victory Park. That land was not usable previously because of some of the uses that had been there that had spoiled the land. The money from Brownfields legislation cleans up the land, educates the community on how to use that land, and then rebuilds it. Congresswoman Johnson was and is attempting to get us a significant amount of money to bring to Dallas to continue that effort, needed testimony in the record, and I, as I said, was very privileged to be able to do that. It was an extraordinary experience. I was well prepared by our Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, Brett Wilkinson, by our D.C. office, and by my own administrative staff, Mr. Stephen Williams and Ms. Glenda Aguirre. They tell me that I did okay, but I did okay because the team was there with me, and I believe we are going to bring home a significant amount of money. When you see Congresswoman Johnson, say thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Terrific. Congresswoman Johnson has been a great supporter on this as opposed to a number of other issues that are important to the council. We appreciate that. Another other issue that's important throughout the community but is trying to address some of the houses, some of the motels that unfortunately have been the focus of some activity that is not in the interest of the community. We made some progress on that, and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, could you just maybe give a quick update on some of those issues?
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening. Some of the motels that we've been dealing with, we've made some progress. We call the motels hot sheet motels. And they are somewhat plaguing our communities. And I would personally love to see, and I'm sure the council would love to see, a hotel. When you look at South Lancaster, in which falls in the council district of Councilwoman Hill, next door to the Urban League, across the street from the Veterans Hospital, we've taken on the task to file against that unwanted motel, the two of them. One is the Southern Comfort Motel, and the other is the Sunset Hotel. Well, thanks to our extraordinary attorney's office, under their leadership, we have filed on both of those motels, and I believe we've sought and have accomplished some injunctions preventing operation of those two motels. We have also closed down and we bulldozed over the motel in South Dallas on Syene, which is in Councilwoman Davis's district, and it was once the American Inn. So we have one other that we're working on currently, and that's the Motel 3, and it's over on Bonneview and Overton, and I think in Councilmember Newman's district, we are about to engage in the Dallas Inn. So these are some unwanted structures that we would just like, and the Mustang Inn as well, we got them. And we're just kind of going through the city, going through the neighborhood, trying to rid the neighborhood of the drug havens and crime-ridden motels that rent by the hour. So we have five, and there will be others, and we'll continue to give you an update. But we're having great success at this point.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Mr. Atkins, would you like to give a quick welcome, given experience and history here in this area?
First thing, good evening. Thanks for the community and the business leader to come to Dallas Edge Airport, former Redbird Airport. It's a great opportunity to come back. My colleagues, you know, 10 years ago, you probably could not recognize this airport. It's a core asset. It's a great asset. And we as a city of Dallas are going to do something about this great asset. Thank you.
Terrific. Any other comments before we begin? Okay, with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Zadokowski. Carl?
Thank you, Derek. Tonight, I want to talk to you about realizing human and economic potential in the southern communities. The area known as Southern Dallas really is traditionally defined as south of the Trinity, west of downtown, and south of Interstate 30, east of downtown. It's the home of 38% of our population. That's almost 500,000 people. If it were a city, it would rank as the 34th most populous city in the country, somewhere between Albuquerque and Atlanta. Many of the communities are more like suburbs, and if you were to look at just the 167 square miles in the population density, it's about equal to Arlington, Cedar Hill, DeSoto, and Duncanville combined. That's a lot of people and a lot of area. One thing I'd like to emphasize is that the southern communities are not one place, but many places. And there's no one-size-fits-all solution to economic development, no cookie-cutter type solution. And lastly, there are enormous economic development opportunities, but we have to address quality of life issues as a necessary precondition for economic development. In other words, if citizens don't feel safe in their communities, if neighborhood schools aren't competitive, if there isn't an adequate supply of mixed-income housing, and if aggressive code enforcement and trash isn't picked up, then no amount of dollar investment in projects is going to yield success. In other words, it's a whole lot more than sticks and bricks. The southern portion of our city really presents both economic opportunities and needed economic assets. It represents 49% of Dallas's land and about 80% of our developable land, but only 16% of real property tax base. The North Texas population is going to grow from 6 to 10 million by 2030. So we need a larger share of that growth here in the southern area of our community. And we need that growth in both residential and commercial tax base in order to pay for city services. Let's look at what a new vision would look like. It would look like southern Dallas communities integrated into the regional economy, with neighborhoods that have a new dynamic of opportunity for renewal and change. Lots of quality options for employment, housing, shopping, and education. And somewhere that is seen by everyone as places for opportunity that are comparable to the greater North Texas region. What would elements of that vision mean? Well, neighborhoods that are clean and safe places. That means where every town hall meeting wouldn't be dominated by conversations about crack houses, motels, feral animals, roosters, and trash pickup. That from an entertainment and retail perspective, we'd have a lot of places like the Bishop Arts District, like West Village, like Uptown, where visitors and residents could enjoy themselves. From an educational standpoint, neighborhood schools would achieve the exemplary status of Peabody and Wheatley and Fraser Elementary Schools, and the UNT, Paul Quinn, and Community College campuses would achieve their full potential. Where more area residents could work closer to home, where aging apartments are replaced by mixed-use income communities that are created and competitive with our suburban neighbors, where business initiatives like the Double iPod, Pinnacle, and Mountain Creek Parks are leveraged into globally competitive marketplace. In a nutshell, everyone views our southern communities as healthy, prosperous, and sustainable places to live. A very lofty vision, but something well worth shooting for. Just in terms of what I'd like to talk to you about tonight, want to outline the key challenges to economic development, talk about what has been accomplished to date, and propose a going forward strategy. I'd like to underscore that despite public sector bond investment of over $1 billion in the last three bond programs and public-private partnership programs that have yielded an additional $1 billion in private investment and 20,000 jobs over the last 20 years, that the southern sector communities are not growing as fast as the rest of the region. There are key issues that are related to wealth accumulation, jobs, education, public safety, and they have to be addressed if we're going to realize our vision. To get the kind of dramatic and measurable results that we want requires a very focused approach, large public investments to create really a springboard for growth. The public sector can't really do it alone, but we've got to take leadership, we've got to set priorities, and we've got to focus on catalysts that move the dial, that in effect stimulate other activity. Just the next slides are going to detail a bit of recent progress. I won't read them all to you. I just talked about the $1 billion from the past three bond programs, and about 70% of our 2006 bond program focused on southern communities. The past council approved the doubling of our TIF capacity. We set up a TOD, a Transit-Oriented Development Master Plan Agreement that mandated investment in the South. We've hired additional police officers, and a new central South Central Division headquarters was opened, and our code compliance department is reorganizing. We've created three new TIF districts since 2005, one over in South Dallas Fair Park on Grand Park South, and two recent ones in North Oak Cliff at Fort Worth Avenue and the Davis Garden District. We've got three Southern Sector Dallas business parks in Pinnacle, Mountain Creek, and the Dallas Logistics Hub. Annual new construction building permits since 2000 have increased by almost 600% in value. And real property values since 2000 have increased by over $5 billion, and that's about a 50% increase. As was mentioned earlier, we have about $12 million in public investment in the Dallas Executive Airport and about $8.5 million of private investment here. Violent crime in southern Dallas has been reduced by 23.4% since 2003, and total crime has been reduced by about 14%. $117 million has been spent in housing programs since 2000. In terms of major catalyst initiatives, we've had DART expansion. We have 11 existing stations and another six under construction. We created a master developer agreement for transit-oriented development. With the International Inland Port of Dallas, we're going to have about 1 million square feet of industrial space come online this year. Our expanded downtown is creating linkages between the downtown core area and our surrounding neighborhoods. And in terms of ongoing projects, you're all familiar with the Trinity River Corridor, the UNT campus. First building is open with 1,000 students, and we've got Forward Dallas Master Planning underway. We've got business parks that are continuing to build out. And I think a notable statistic, we've had an 8.5% increase in owner-occupied housing between 2000 and 2007, versus only about a 2% increase citywide. The next several pages are going to put this this progress in perspective. One of the major challenges that we have is wealth. As you can see on this slide in blue, you see a significant pattern of wealth creation. And in the rest of the city, why the wealth creation is very, the wealth distribution is very uneven. Now, Southern Dallas doesn't have a spine of wealth creation to equate to the North Dallas Tollway and the I-75 corridors. So one of the things that we're going to have to try to accomplish is to a concentrated focus strategy to create investment for a more balanced economy. The second challenge relates to jobs. The employment bases, as you can see in this chart, are more focused in the north, with office employment, with the circle there on the right clustered around the north-south axis from the CBD, with industrial development going along Stemmons. And we don't have any current corridors in the south, and most commercial development is really along the periphery. 84% of residents work outside the area. In terms of education, our educational prospects are a significant challenge to accomplishing our objectives. Public schools in the city are generally lower on standardized tests than our northern suburbs, but it's not just a southern sector problem. But yet you can see in some of the darker areas in the southern portion at the bottom of the map, we do have schools here that are comparable to suburban schools. Now, we can point to a lot of progress, but many neighborhoods still show little improvement. Perceptions, some true and some not, harm the retention and attraction of companies and families. These would include risks related to crime or uncompetitive neighborhood public schools, fewer retail opportunities, most particularly full-service grocery stores, and an aging housing stock with a shortage of mixed-income housing. Bottom line, the rate of redevelopment won't achieve the balanced economic opportunities that we aspire to over any reasonable part of time unless we do some things differently. So what do we want to do? Business as usual isn't going to work. And I want to emphasize again that creating sustainable communities is an absolute precondition to economic development. To realize our economic potential in the South, we must have healthy neighborhoods. And that means improving public safety to make people feel safe, enhancing general living conditions by better coordinated city services, expanding our existing housing stock, and the last element in this strategy is a targeted investment in areas that are going to create maximum economic impact, investing in areas like the Lancaster Corridor, the Fair Park Green Line Corridor, continued investment in ongoing initiatives such as IPOD and our industrial parks, and attracting a major production facility to the area that would increase and create jobs. This doesn't work if it's not accomplished by an equal investment in quality of life elements that I just mentioned. Let me just go into a little more detail relative to each of these elements. Relative to continued initiatives to improve public safety and making sure that people feel safe in their communities. The police are working very hard to enhance their service delivery. Talked about the new division station that's been opened, over 200 officers there. Also focusing on increased aggressive response time goals for priority 1 and 2 calls. The goal is 12 minutes within by the end of 2009 calendar year. They're also setting up and looking very hard at getting citizen feedback and being able to respond to that, and this year are going to be initiating a citizen satisfaction survey. Beat management is another geographic focus, which basically has the patrol beat being staffed by officers that are being held accountable for their patrolling and managing problems. The other point that really needs to be made is that this whole initiative requires the support of the whole judicial process, the whole criminal justice system. It doesn't work without that kind of active collaboration. That means the DA's office, that means the courts, it means the patrol system that's pretty much controlled by the state, and monitoring of ex-offenders, which is a county responsibility. We need to enhance community conditions, which means pursuing a more aggressive code enforcement policy, taking up the same philosophy that the police have in terms of beat management, consolidating resources, staffing up, and basically also increasing resources to maintain basic services like trash collection. Just the city services slide really just summarizes a broader application of what we just covered with public safety and code. In terms of service integration, we're talking about the 311-911 split. The geographic approach is really relates to the beat management and service feedback, really evaluation being tied to citizen surveys. The city also has a responsibility to engage the community. That means helping neighborhoods maximize their existing assets. And one way we can do this is coordinate our existing programs and create asset mapping, or help communities to create asset mapping to sort of leverage off of their assets. Some real examples that you could look at on page 77 and 78 of the appendix here are the Jubilee Community and Fort Worth Avenue. Both of these initiatives are excellent examples of where the private sector, the community, the city has come together with some pretty extraordinary results. And the same models don't work everywhere, but if you take a look at this, you can see something that where there was real involvement and a real desire to improve with some pretty extraordinary results. Looking at expanded housing stock, we're really talking about a three-part program: replacing aging apartments, recapitalizing the housing trust fund, and creating new neighborhoods around the UNT Dallas campus that are competitive alternatives to existing desirable communities. Just looking at the aging apartment issue, there's really a legacy of aging multifamily complexes that are really a severe drain on the city's resources and whose code and prod problems really drag on entire neighborhoods. So we're looking to support major mixed-use, mixed-income developments that will replace these substandard units and establish a fair policy for relocating residents. This really involves the participation of development partners that have a track record in inner city development and who continue as property managers after the completion of construction. Our goal is to basically redevelop 20% of the units, about 1,000 units, by 2010. We have a real need to recapitalize the Housing Trust Fund. This fund was created in 2000. With a one-time $1 million general fund appropriation. Its last loan was made in 2004, and then the funds were reprogrammed. What we're proposing is a recapitalization of the fund from multiple sources and corresponding uses that are detailed on the slide. That's about $8.25 million. The next steps are to initiate discussions with the Housing Trust Fund proposition that would be similar to Proposition 8 of the 2006 bond program, and are proposing $20 million for that initiative. Basically would focus on assisting with the acquisition, demolition, and gap financing of mixed-use residential projects. We also feel a strong need to lobby state and federal legislatures for additional programs and funding support for local housing trust funds, including the passage of a National Housing Trust Fund Act. The UNT Dallas campus is a tremendous asset and a new development opportunity around a future 25,000 student campus. We can't allow it to become isolated as other universities within the region. It needs to be the anchor for new communities. There's major employment and residential potential. The Forward Dallas Master Plan is underway in surrounding neighborhoods. Lots of public participation and zoning changes are underway to implement the master plan. The last element of our proposed approach is a targeted investment strategy, which is really designed to maximize the economic impact and jobs. It would involve direct, significant public-private investment in key communities. And by significant, we're talking $50 million and up in various forms over a 4 to 5 year period to create a more balanced urban core. We're focusing on the Lancaster Corridor and the Fair Park Green Line Corridor. We're looking to attract with major subsidies
a production facility to create significant new jobs. We're looking to capitalize on key development and process such as IPOD and the business parks. Looking to establish local development, probably full service grocery stores to provide needed neighborhood amenities. And the last piece is aggressively pushing what we call reciprocal linkage, and that means inducing developers in the north to co-invest in the south, similar to the way we negotiated with Cherokee on the transit-oriented development policy, which required a TOD in the south for any development in the north. So we're not wanting to do anything without creating balance. Looking at prioritizing key areas and focusing on infrastructure, incentive, and community development investments in the Lancaster corridor and in the Fair Park area. If we look at the map on page 33, you can see that both are important areas in terms of their geographic location, and they're both underserved by the system. They both benefit from a proximity to downtown. They both benefit from existing or under construction rail transit. There are significant public amenities in Fair Park, the Dallas Zoo, the Cedar Crest Golf Course. On Lancaster, you have key anchors in the form of the VA Hospital and the Urban League. And in the Fair Park area, we have an existing TIF, Grand Park South. We have Chodos. We have the Jubilee and Fraser neighborhoods. So lots of preconditions for development upon which we can lever. This is going to require, as I said before, significant public sector investment in the $50 million range, but we anticipate that there'll be a significant ripple effect in surrounding neighborhoods as a result of this investment. Now, this all sounds great, but how do we pay for it? Well, we can look at future bond programs to expand economic development and the housing component for a housing trust fund and new projects and community building initiatives. We can increase TIF capacity if required, but we doubled the TIF cap back in 2007, and seven of our existing TIFs are going to roll off in 2013, so I don't think that will be necessary, but there is additional capacity under state law if we desire to consider that. We look at linkage, which is what I described earlier in terms of tying projects in stronger markets to investment in Southern Dallas projects, and then the whole concept of private sector matching for specific projects, getting public sector support matched by private or nonprofit or faith-based funding sources. What we're really proposing builds and enhances just our existing funding sources. And we need to build on existing success stories. IPOD, we've talked about this and briefed this several times to this council. We're right now in the midst of a master planning effort, and we'll be doing an RFQ and an RFP for the master plan, and this we're doing in conjunction with the COG, the county, the Allen Group, and the other surrounding communities. The foreign trade zone acreage is being expanded. As I said before, the first two industrial buildings are coming online, about 1 million square feet, and we've issued an RFQ for an agile port feasibility analysis, basically to analyze sort of a cost benefit of all the traffic volume and goods that are passing through the region. Talk a little bit about the Southwest Center Mall. It's about 80 acres of property. It has clearly stagnated, but it's at a core location on the I-67 corridor. There are common ownership issues. The city doesn't control this land, but it is important enough that we are seeking to facilitate redevelopment because we feel like it could serve as a catalyst for sustainability of a lot of adjacent properties. We'd like to pursue partnerships with private owners and developers that are capable of a redevelopment strategy. We would like to understand what the highest and best use for that property is, and it may not be a mall. But we know that we would want to incorporate redevelopment linkages with the Dallas Executive Airport and the entire I-67 corridor. Talking about our host here this evening at the Dallas Executive Airport, what we're looking to do, and have spent quite some time in partnership with the Oak Cliff Chamber and a number of community groups, is decouple the aviation land and the non-aviation property with the idea of trying to promote some private commercial development. We're, as I said before, we've been working very hard with the Oak Cliff Chamber. We're looking to create a catalyst that would link the redevelopment of the Southwest Center Mall area and properties along the whole corridor. And we'll be briefing the Economic Development Committee by April of 2008. We want to attract a major production facility that would probably be south of Interstate 20 or perhaps along I-35 or I-45 corridors. It generally would require quite a bit of land, and these are the only areas where you have significant undeveloped land masses. The idea would be to recruit the production facility with an established supplier network. The council had originally, in your early planning session, set a goal for 300 jobs, but the mayor asked us to up the ante a little bit to 500 jobs, I guess because we just recruited Niagara with 200 jobs, so it would be a little too easy to achieve that 300 goal. So we want potential of 1,000 jobs in the near-term future. This would involve substantial public-private incentives. Probably would involve getting the state involved as well as all the various incentive packages at our disposal. We want to generate projects that are going to provide key amenities that serve residents on a daily basis, and so our objective is one new full-service grocery store in Southern Dallas by 2009 and two by 2012. We'd want to achieve that by forming a partnership with a national retail chain with the idea of developing new full-service grocery stores. The thought process would be that we would mitigate some of their operational concerns by offering some additional assistance and also providing support from neighborhood leadership groups. Here again, we would be willing to provide needed financial incentives on a deal-by-deal basis. If you look at this chart, you can see that there are several middle to high-income neighborhoods in the southern part of the city, which explains why there's so much activity when you see those bottom two circles around the Interstate 20 corridor. Finally, on the next slide, which you saw a little bit earlier, this map really provides a visual of our articulated new investment priorities. You can see the key strategic locations of Lancaster and the Fair Park corridors and the impact that this could have on other areas in the immediate neighborhood. The neighborhood retail opportunities are sort of depicted throughout the map. It doesn't represent any specific locations. You can see the manufacturing probably mostly south of I-20. The redevelopment opportunities on the I-67 corridor and the business parks that are really on the periphery of the area. Now, this next chart really shows how all this comes together. We visualize that a first step would really be the endorsement of this approach by the council. Next would envision that the staff would look in depth at the key investment areas and come back with a recommended development hypothesis that would take somewhere from 4 to 6 months. Then engage the community either through a task force or town hall meetings some way to get community feedback from a proposed plan of action and then put together that implementation plan. So the recommended immediate next steps, we'd like the council to endorse this approach and new project priorities, asking the mayor to convene a Southern Dallas task force that would involve both public and private sector and community participation idea would be that it would provide community input to oversee planning and tactical implementation, and we'd staff that with the Economic Development Office. Mr. Mayor, that concludes my presentation. I'll take questions.
Carl, very much. I appreciate that. I'd like to make a couple of comments, and then I'm going to turn it to my colleagues, first to Mr. Atkins, who we've asked to head up the Southern Dallas Economic Task Force to make some comments. But I'd like to reinforce a couple of things. As you said initially, I think economic development in the southern part of our city is a real opportunity. But beyond that, it's also a need. It's not only important for the southern part of our city, it's important for all of our city if we're going to be successful, creating tax bases and creating opportunities. The good news is that there is a lot of things that are happening, and that's real positive. But as you pointed out, there's a ways to go of it. I think we've got to be realistic and understand that it's going to be a matter of priorities. In no way are we going to be able to do everything. And in fact, our challenge is going to be to focus on a couple of areas, not dilute our efforts, and make sure that we use what we do on the city as a springboard, as kind of a foundation, to make sure that that leverages, produces additional investment from the private sector. And I think if we do that, if we're willing to focus our efforts, come together as a city in total, we'll be able to do that. It's important to understand that we can't do business as usual, that we've got to be willing to make some investments in our city, and to do that, it's going to have to take some pretty aggressive action. As you point out, it's not just a question of economic development. Clearly, public safety is a big piece of that. You mentioned the things that we're doing there, especially building up the size of our police force so that we're capable of addressing the needs of the city, but also making sure that we respond in ways that build the trust and confidence of the community. Carl mentioned the survey that's in place, the RAND Corporation, which is a very well-respected organization on a national and international basis, is assisting us with that. So I think we're all very optimistic that that's going to produce benefit. But also we have to understand it's not just a city question. We're going to need help at the courts, both at the city level and at the county level. We're also going to need the assistance, especially at the county level, to assist in jails and those to make sure that we're going at the public safety issue in a concerted way and that it's one that has a consistent strategy across all governmental entities. I'd also tell you that from the general living standpoint, we think we're making progress there. We've had some significant shifts in our code compliance. One of the things that I think all of us are excited about is for the first time that we have people that are area managers who actually have responsibility, not just from a functional standpoint, but have responsibility for managing an area and ensuring that somebody's accountable to see that we continue to improve the living conditions, kind of the curb appeal, the desirability of living in there, and make sure that the code compliance issues go down and it becomes much more attractive. And then finally, the housing stock. I want to reinforce one thing that Carl said, because for the first time you saw a number. It may not be all we need to do, but for the first time you saw a number that would be a significant additional capital infusion into housing stock. And I know Ms. Davis is going to talk about this in a moment, and Mr. Salazar, as head of our housing committee, will touch on it too. But a significant investment through the bond program of creating a capital base, and hopefully this capital base is going to be tens of millions of dollars and will really give us kind of the nucleus to be able to do some things in housing. I know the housing committee that Steve heads, along with Jerry Killingsworth, talked about some of these components yesterday. For the first time, we're really putting it in as a game plan to go forward and include that. Other cities have done it. We found that other cities, the lesson that they've learned, unless you have that capital base that goes out, comes back, goes out, that really regenerates itself, it's very difficult to address housing stock from an operating basis. In terms of economic development, you really heard, and if you kind of go with me to page 33 for just a second, you really see kind of three different components of what we're trying to do in economic development. There is the project focused, and things like that Carl talked about are the airport here, Southwest Center Marl, the business parks, those sort of things. As Carl said, we want to make sure that we support those. We also want some functional priorities to bring a production facility in that's got a significant job base, and that job base also brings a supplier network into it so it leverages, and then especially the development that touches people, grocery stores, Starbucks, entertainment, movie theaters, those sorts of things. I had one conversation with a gentleman that is purchasing property and hopefully we'll move in on that in not too distant a future. Those are going to be high priorities. I would tell you that everybody on the council is working hard on that. I know that there's been conversations that have been had with a number of council people in terms of approaching large grocery store chains, of trying to build agreements for them to make significant investment in the southern part of our city, and then as a city we'll work with them in other areas too to make sure that we try to push those things. But those conversations are taking place. And then when we look at the third element of that, and that's the geographical focus. You know, key areas like Fair Park, we clearly have to get an answer to that. We're going to have to approach it not just as a project, Fair Park, but as an entire neighborhood. I know Mrs. Davis is involved in that, and she may talk a little bit more about that. UNT, I think, is a special opportunity. It's an area where there's an awful lot of land. We can almost design a new community and use schools as a nucleus. We've got a commitment, at least an informal commitment, hopefully that the next bond program at the Dallas Independent School District will include a high school in that area. Not demographically justified, but one that will create a nucleus for us to do some economic development. I think that is, if we can accomplish that, that's going to be a major, major step. And then, of course, the iPod, the jobs that are being created there. Again, I think a lot of that is make sure we put in the infrastructure and then allow the private developers to do things that they need to, clearly working with the cities. But I also want to focus then finally on the Lancaster corridor, the Lancaster area. As I said, we're going to have to be aggressive. What you heard tonight is really the first part of an initiative that says that the city, through a whole variety, over a course of years, we want to focus on that area. As you can see from the map, it really is in the central part of a lot of the efforts in the southern part of the city. You heard, as Carl mentioned, it's going to take significant resources. It's probably going to take, we're going to have to find out the right number, but over the course of the next 5 years, probably a $50 million infusion. Some of that will come bond, some of it will come private, it will come from various ways, but it's going to be a significant one. What we would like to do there is think of that as an initiative, a special initiative to go into that area and use as a nucleus to push redevelopment and reinvigoration throughout the entire southern part of the city. It would take the announcement of initiative, which we want to put forward this evening, and then have the staff over the next couple of months really identify the different options, the different ideas, creative solutions, the bubble maps, looking at land planning, those sorts of things, and then thinking of, at least in round terms, the dollars that it would take and how we would get that investment. We've already had conversations with outside funds. There's funds that are being created that are focusing on low and moderate income areas, and we already have an informal, at least, commitment that they would partner with us to bring additional development dollars, real estate, income property development dollars in that. And again, early in the stages, but I'm optimistic on that. The next stage, once we bring some ideas to bear, would be to engage the community in starting to look at some of those ideas and make sure we go forward. And then the fourth one, of course, is move forward on implementation. I think you heard a number of things today that are very different ideas that are put forward. I think it proves that there's an awful lot of opportunities out there, but we're going to have to be aggressive. If you think about it in terms of the housing stock and thinking about that, in terms of the next bond proposal, if you think about the opportunities in the projects as well as an initiative in the Lancaster corridor, I think there's good reason to believe that we can have some significant success over the next several years. It's not going to be overnight. It's going to take years. But I think that we've got some opportunity to be able to do that. With that, Mr. Atkins, could I have you make some comments, then we'll open the up.
I definitely will, but Mitch will make one short comment first. Mitch?
Okay. Mr. Rosansky?
Thank you, Tennell. Colleagues, Carl, very nice presentation.
Thank you.
But I have a big problem with trying to do this. We have to get funds into the southern sector. We have to, because with the southern sector grows Dallas and grows our tax base. But unless we clean up the area, I mean, I've lived here over 70 years. I go back to where I'm from, and I look at the neighborhoods, and it's unbelievable, our trash, our dilapidated buildings, our rundown buildings. I would love to see us open up and regional code compliance offices in the area and hire 20 a year new people. As I am with the budget here, I will absolutely endorse that. We have to get more people in the area to keep us clean. Do you think you're going to bury in grocery stores, Starbucks, and everything with trash, dilapidated buildings, and all this going on? It's not going to happen. You're not going to bring in development unless we get the area cleaned up, from Fair Park to Lancaster Keys, the whole area. We have to have an aggressive code compliance department, very aggressive, with our city attorney's office. You know, we say, we call our city attorney and say, don't get anything done. I called our city attorney. I had a house that in my neighborhood was just terrible. Called the city attorney, got him out there, and I think in 3 weeks it was gone. We have to stay on top of it, but we have to have an aggressive code department that would open up offices. I don't want a manager sitting there. I want the manager to sitting in the area to be stocked with plenty of code compliance who are going to get out. I don't want to see citations after citations issued. Tom, Mr. Perkins, our city attorney, if they do not respond, I want to see the house torn down or moved. Otherwise, we're not going to get the area developed. We've got to get it cleaned up. We have to get it cleaned up, and I don't see us doing that. We have to have an aggressive. We have some great council people in the southern sector. I know Tanel and Carol and all everyone and Dwayne. Everyone has their heart in doing this. And I'm willing to vote for some additional funds to our code compliance big funds to get this program started, because every year I go to the southern sector where I'm from, where I was brought up and born, Oak Cliff and southern, and it looks as bad as it did 5 years ago or worse.
Mr. Zinske, we'll be briefing you the 1st of April. If you remember, several months ago, we brought you a proposition that we said we're sending all the code out into the neighborhood, the office of the neighborhood, responsible for areas of the neighborhood, and come the first part of April, we'll be back, and you'll have a chance to vote on that money.
I don't
we'll
want
be
you
asking.
To send them out there. I want us to open offices out there where they can travel in the area.
Absolutely.
And see what's going on. I don't want them to be downtown.
They're not going to be. They're moving out of downtown.
I want to have some offices in the area so we can get the areas cleaned up.
That's what's happening.
Thank you.
Mr. Zinske, thank you. I think that... shows, I'll make another comment.
Thank you, Mayor.
I think that shows the commitment of the entire council. As Dr. Garcia said, he was really saying we're going to invest more money?
Yes, and we need to do it pronto, or we're not, or this is not going to get fulfilled by having people come. Is anybody going to buy a house in an area that's not kept up? And the answer is no. It's the same way, Carl.
Thank you.
Let's get the area cleaned up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate it,
Mr. Zinske. Mayor. Mitch, thank you very much. One great thing that we live in the city of Dallas, and for many years we said a tale of the two cities, and I would like for Tone Leppard to stand up, please. Dr. Garfield to stand up, please. Dwayne Carraway, please stand up. Carolyn Davis, want to sit here, will you please stand up, please? Paul Medrano, Steve Salazar, and Dave Newman. These are my colleagues. They live in the southern sector. And they're going to work for the southern sector. For another tale of two cities. And we're going to make something happen. Thank you. By doing that, we sit here today at Dallas Decker Airport. This is a core asset. A great asset. One of the first quests in the city of Dallas. What drives economic development is development. If you live on the West Coast or the East Coast, they say, what is the engine to drive economic development? They would sell a seaport. That's the engine that drives economic development. We said here inland, what drives economic development is aviation. Look at DFW. Look at Dallas Jackson Airport. We are going to drive economic development because we are the engine. Look at Allison Airport. By looking at the other suburbs like Grand Prairie, Lancaster, McKinney, Arlington, their general aviation is driven because that is the only engine they have to drive. We have to see the Dallas with my colleague Dwayne Carraway, who is going to be head of marketing for the city of Dallas. We got to market our asset. That's what we need to do. We need to market this asset. This is a great asset. It's in the southern sector. This asset can be used to create jobs, to bring more jobs. But not only Dallas Decker Airport, but within the community. We as a community got to support the airport. The airport was here before the community was here. This airport is over 50 years old. We need to support the airport. We need to support the development around the airport. And the reason why I'm speaking about Dallas Tech Airport, because it's an engine. It's going to waste. It's deteriorating. We got old buildings here. We as a city of Dallas got to change our thought, change our investment, how we invest in our asset, how we use this core asset to help the development to city of Dallas. Back in 1994, there was an airport north. We call it the Allison Airport, which it still is. 25% of their tax base, over $250 million, generates from that tax base from aviation. And we are bigger and much larger than Allison Airport. Now, I'm not going to talk about Allison Airport, but I'm talking about the city of Dallas and the Mayor Task Force. The mayor put a big load on my back and said, you can be the chair of the southern sector of the mayor task force economic development. But Ron DeTess is down here on the end, who is the chair of economic development. I'm the vice chair. It takes everyone. You got Mitch here as the chair of finance. You got Dr. Garcia, his public safety. You got Madrona, quarter of the life. You got all these chairs working together to make sure we have a better city in the southern sector. I'm going to talk about the Lancaster Corridor, but that's the Wayne Caraway district. He can talk about the Lancaster Corridor. We need to put money in the Lancaster Corridor, and we're going to do it. We can talk about Pinnacle Park, a Mountain Creek, with Dave Luminat, that's industrial park. They just created 200 jobs. Over $50 million investment in the southern sector. We can talk about Pauline Madrona, about the police academy, which is going to bring in 200 new jobs. A cadet who got to graduate. They got to eat in these restaurants, whatever needs to be done. Talk about Dr. Garcia in her district in Jefferson. Talk about Fonseca Hill in District 5. Carolyn Davis, the Fair Park. I can go on and on. The southern sector is not behind. We are in the future. We are gaining. The tale of the two cities is over with. We as a council do not fight anymore. If we do fight, we're going to fight in the back room. The reason why we don't fight, because when we were fighting years ago, we lost the Cowboys. When we were fighting years ago, we lost Longstar Park, the racetrack. We lost the Cowboys by fighting. We as a council is not going to fight. We are going to develop the southern sector in my turn, not 20 years from today, now. And how do we do it? We do it with a city manager who will understand. She is our CEO. We are the policy maker. You tell us what to do, and we would go back and tell the city what to do and make policy. If you need help, you got to tell us. If you don't tell us, how do we can help you? We cannot help. You as a community, you as a business leader, you got to take pride in Dallas in the southern sector. The task force with the mayor brought before us tonight in the past, we don't know who all going to be on the task force. We don't know what we're going to accomplish. But one thing we're going to do, we are going to be able to measure what we do. I mean measure what we do. We're not going to wait 2 years on the length of the corridor. We're going to do something now. And by doing that, you can appreciate it. One thing Bonsall Hills always said, you got to have curative appeal. Curative appeal. You got to have clean. If you don't clean your neighborhood, why would you come? Remember saying what Evan Pillman always said, if you build something, they will come. We got a Dallas Convention Hotel. It's south. We need that. Not only Convention Hotel, we got UNT. We got the Inland Port. We got Southwest Southern Mall. We know we got to do something with it. We are going to do something with the Southwest Southern Mall. We don't know what, but we need your input. You as a citizen have a duty. You as a taxpayer have a duty. If you vote, you got to come to City Hall. You got to tell us what you want. If you don't tell us, How do we know? By saying that, I'm going to close on one great note. We have a mayor who is open-minded. We have a city manager who is very open-minded. We have a city attorney to keep us out of trouble. And we got great assistant managers to make sure we're doing something right. But our policy is here today that these colleagues here, this is your city. We are here to serve you. Remember, we work for you. You can fire us anytime. Make your voice heard. Tell us what you need in your community.
Mayor, I'll probably have round two.
Fair enough. We're going to keep it to round one now.
Mr. Newman?
Thank you, Mayor. We will need to keep this to just one round, please.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. First of all, thank you to Tanel for inviting us here to Executive Airport. It is indeed a pleasure to be with us. And my next thank goes to the citizens that are out here. It's good that we're having people stand in the back, that we're running out of chairs. That's a good sign. And so that's very good. That bodes well for the other three community meetings that we'll have as a council. Thank you for the presentation, Carl. I would look at the presentation that came to us and came to you as citizens tonight in terms of linkage and leadership. It is our responsibility as a city council to provide linkage within our city. Some of Tanel's comments about the various districts and the council members goes to the importance and our responsibility to link city council districts, link different areas of our city. Leadership. Under the mayor's leadership, with the good staff that you as citizens have, we have to pair that together. I would speak to the importance of protecting our neighborhoods and strengthening our neighborhoods. And that comes from, first and foremost, citizen involvement. If you don't show up, how can you expect your elected leaders to perform? So I applaud you for showing up. Second, homeowner association support. It is essential that throughout our city, whether it be in the southern sector, north, east, west, or south, that we strengthen our efforts and our commitment to homeowners association. Beat patrols, it was mentioned in here, and hopefully you all picked up on what the concept of beat controls are, beat patrol, and that is decentralizing your police force into neighborhoods. So there are beat cops that you can get to know and have a relationship with instead of just driving through neighborhoods. And last but not least, code compliance. We have a new interim director of code compliance. He's your interim director, Forrest Turner. He is attempting to rejuvenize and the effort and decentralize our code compliance. So protecting and strengthening our neighborhoods is first. Second is economic competitiveness. On the slide number 33, it talks about, on page 33, it talks about strategic areas of investment priorities. And it's essential that we stay focused and we invest dollars wisely in areas that will get the quickest return. The Trinity River Corridor Project. The city now, citizens now, have voted twice to stay the course and invest long-term in your Trinity River Corridor Project. And it's four things to you as citizens I would give you. First, flood control. Second, parks and recreation. Third, better, more improved transportation. And last, what are we here to talk about tonight? Economic development. It is essential that you as citizens stay involved in that process and keep us accountable for all four of those elements. Flood control, transportation, parks and recreation, lakes and trails, and economic development. Again, linkage and leadership. Thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate it. Mr. Salazar.
Thank you, Mayor. And I was sitting here and I wrote all these numbers down because a lot of things we do, there's a lot of numbers that can justify many things that we want to do, what you want to do. But to put it in more simple terms, you have to look at what are the things that have been done that when they were proposed, people would think, well, you know, can we do that? And I think back to being on the council, well, actually even before I got on the council, being at the back of the auditorium of the council and looking down at a council vote when they voted down a proposal to bring a racetrack to Oak Cliff. Now there are two sides to the racetrack, you know, a for and against. And I remember, you know, standing there, and I met a guy named Bill Boyk, or Buick. And he said, he was proposing the racetrack. And he said, he didn't win that day, but he understood why, because there was people opposed to racetracks in their backyards. But he said he still had another vision, another plan, and that he went and came back. He didn't give up. He came back. And he talked to the council. And I remember I want to acknowledge a fellow colleague, Bob Stimson, who's here in the audience, and Mr. Oakley. And Bob was on the council at the time, and Bob and I served together. And Bob didn't say, no, we're not going to do anything. You try to bring a bad project. Bob said, well, this project's not good, but let's look on another one. And we worked on another one through city council, through the Congress, through the Senate, through the legislature, through the county commissioners. It wasn't the city alone that did a project, and it was called Pinnacle Park. That was 1995 when I had that conversation with Bill Boyk, and Stimson and I started working on Pinnacle Park back in 1995. If you look at what Pinnacle Park is, which is the intersection of I-30 and Cocker Hill Road, what you see is a vibrant commercial magnet that has not only a Southwestern Bell, has a Walmart, a Best Buy, a Lowe's, has a multifamily in that area, has jobs, a lot of warehouse jobs that pay good money, a lot of technical, and has a Staples now, something Oak Cliff didn't have in the past, an office supply store that's big and accessible. And I look at that, and I would think about that as a very good example of when you have a vision of what you want to do, and when you have a direction, and many times where the plans fall apart is in the execution, where one left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And what I'm telling to you today is that of all these plans that are out there, we need to make sure that we all have the same vision. And we all go in the same direction. And by direction, I mean that, for example, we have a new police substation in the southern sector. And that's over here off of Wheatland Road. That was a vision that was that came from the community when they said that, well, our police response is too slow in the southern sector. And the southern sector is really, southern Dallas. What can we do to fix it? And one idea was to put a substation, and now guess what? There's a substation. We talked about a lack of education in Dallas. We're the only large city that I'm aware of that doesn't have a public university. But guess what? Through the help of Royce West and also through the help of the University of North Texas, we now have a public university, including the one that's also downtown with a multiple campus university downtown. We need a law school, and that's on the way. These are things where if you don't live in Dallas, you're looking for to live in Dallas, because many people have already realized, and certainly we on the council and the city staff have realized that we're going to get over 1 million more people in the city of Dallas sometime in the next 15 years. We're going to grow at twice the size that we are right now. It doesn't mean our land is going to grow. Land just stays there. That means more people are going to come in. And the plans that you hear tonight regarding, for example, from the Mayor's Task Force on Affordable Housing that we met with today in housing that the mayor called together, Mr. Larry James was the chairman, and they're giving us ideas on how we can accommodate a lot of these people who are going to need affordable housing. And let me tell you, affordable housing isn't anymore just for people who make less than $30,000 a year. Affordable housing includes a house that's worth up to $125,000. I remember when I built the house back in the early 90s, you could build a house for less than $100,000. Nowadays you can't. If many of you, drove over here, that prices have gone up, gas is going up. But we still have to make those plans. We have that vision. And when we go in that direction, to make sure that we equip and we retool our staff, and that the council has the tools to make sure that whatever plan we're moving in that direction, that they're going to have the ability to execute that plan. Whether it's, and one part is obviously here the executive airport, But we're also going to need partners. Partners like in the mid-1990s with Mr. Bill Boyk and his team that came to Pinnacle Park and said, we want to do something with this 100 acres, and we want to make it, you know, generate more than $100 million in income for the city of Dallas, because that's what the employees are making right now. We need more people like Richard Allen from the Allen Group that have invested in over 6,000 acres in International Inland Port here in southern Dallas and in southern Dallas County. We need more of those type of people to come in and say, you know what, we see the potential here. You know, housing is happening. All you have to look at all the new neighborhoods that have developed, everything from Cocker Hill, Mountain View, Mountain Creek, and all the way as well as here in I-20, I-35, and 67. The housing is coming and the people are coming. We need to make sure that we can capitalize and keep the money here in Dallas. And that means retail, as the mayor has talked about. That means having jobs here as we're looking to attract a large company. And guess what? There's a big company looking for a home right now. It's called Coors. You know, they want to move from Colorado. I guess it's too high up there. You know, the air's kind of thin. And maybe they want a little bit of sunshine. We got a little cold to help them, too, because we can be as cold as Colorado Hills here sometimes. But there's opportunities that we need to make sure we focus on. And having been on the council a pretty long time now, I can tell you that we have a very good mayor who's going to help us find that vision, move in that direction, and make sure that he executes the plans that we lay out tonight and all the other nights with the help of these chairs and these council members to make sure that Dallas is the number one city where in the United States, if you want to come live in the United States from wherever you come from, Dallas is going to be the first place to look. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for inviting all of us here this evening. I have a couple questions concerning the economic development handout. Years ago, we called our sections by its name. South Dallas was South Dallas, Fair Park. Oak Cliff was Oak Cliff. West Dallas was West Dallas. East Dallas was East Dallas. So now we are now the southern sector. But I don't want the South Dallas, Fair Park, I-30, Ferguson, Buckner, down to Magna Vista, Oak Cliff to get lost within the southern sector. First of all, I'm here to work for the whole city of Dallas, and I believe that working for the whole city of Dallas, we all can make a difference in the lives of our constituents and the lives of individuals who want to see a change in this city. To that point, I would like to turn to page 33. On page 33, Carl, when we look at the Fair Park and over to the side of it says neighborhood retail opportunities, who are we talking about? Is that still a part of the South Dallas Fair Park area?
No, Ms. Davis, what we're trying to do, you'll see three boxes that say neighborhood retail opportunities, and that's just to reflect opportunities throughout the whole area. It's not geographically related. It's not something that's specific to the Fair Park area. It's just to sort of focus on the fact that there's a real grocery and retail deficit in the entire area. Maybe different in each individual area, but it doesn't connote anything specific.
Okay, one thing that I want to make sure we do, since this is a council meeting, I want us to also mention South Dallas. I don't want the name to get lost within Fair Park. Fair Park is an institution within itself, but we have about, you know, a good 50,000 people who live within that community, the South Dallas Fair Park area. The other thing is we, and I guess, AC, can you come up for a minute, please? What I want us to talk about is a little of this economic development plan. There's a couple of things that's not in this plan that I would like to see before, you know, we move forward. As you know, we're not talking a lot about this particular retail that's coming in to our district because I don't want the land to go up in price. And it's a major developer that's coming in. Would you say this could be a part of this economic development plan?
Absolutely.
When we talk, as Carl just mentioned, these are just general descriptors that are used to describe the need in that area or
okay.
throughout Southern Dallas. But certainly the project that we're working on with mm-hmm. you and we're working on with other council members
mm-hmm.
does fit this description.
Okay. Also, we need to look at, and it's not a part of this, because I thought, and Carl, we're not asking for approval for this. This is not a final master plan.
Not at all. This is a broad concept, and
okay.
the idea is, I mean, I think we fully acknowledge that every area has different characteristics, is at a different stage of development. In some areas, it may be code compliance, it may be focusing on cleaning up the neighborhood as a precondition, and others why they're further along in the development process. So this is just creating a vision and an overall direction, and we'll be coming back with more specific
okay.
initiatives.
As we come back, I want to make sure that we look at I-30 up towards Big Town, heading all the way into Mesquite, because that Ferguson Road area to Buckner. Also wants to loop down, you know, you got that Cedar Crest Magna Vista Gateway. I'm working on a feasibility study for that. And we got Reverend Parker with Golden Gate, who has a wonderful, and they have the money to do the, you know, they started the gatehouse, and we're talking about economic development, retail in that area. And I'm trying to link all of that to Mr. Caraway. So if we work on the Cedar Crest Magna Vista Gateway, we come on up to Illinois, and then we get to Illinois to Lancaster, so we can hook those two together with the Lancaster Keys, and then we can kind of work on that Oak Cliff area together. The other thing is that I don't want us to miss the Bell Warning 2. It's a major economic development within that area. So as we start to develop this, I want to make sure that, because I have a whole lot going on in the district, and a lot of it's retail, and I want to make sure that we kind of pull all of this together. We got the train, the TOD, that's going to be open in 2008 at Fair Park, and the J.B. Jackson Martin Luther King Station. So, and then I have a major developer who's going to be working with me to build some kiosks around that train station. So I need to get with you guys so we can pull all this together so it can fit within this plan, or how are we going to do it?
I think that the intention of this presentation and focusing on the South Dallas Fair Park area
mm-hmm.
is to incorporate that entire corridor from the Fair Park area over to Sien and Hatcher, because that's where the initial transit stations will be completed in the next couple of years. So that by no means excludes anything. In fact, it focuses attention.
Okay, on page 60. On page 60, you have the TOD, and you have one Southern Dallas TOD project in 2008. Of course, this is not written in stone. This is just to kind of get a feel of what's going on, right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things relative to TOD development is that the land assemblage process is oftentimes can be long,
mm-hmm.
and what we're committing to or wanting to make sure happens is that there would be at least one of these land assemblages in 2008. I think when we envisioned the entire program, it was a 3 to 5 year process, but
mm-hmm.
we also understand the need to accelerate in ways that where we can influence that.
Okay. Then on the, you have another on the population growth. Where did you get that on page 49? Did this come from the last census? Okay.
Yes.
Okay then. Okay, that could have shifted or changed just a little.
Absolutely.
Oh.
I mean, it's changing as we speak.
Okay. Okay. And I have one more question, and then I'll be finished. On the economic retail side of this, Carl, can you talk a little about? And Lord knows I've gone through this. Trying to the deal, one of the things that you have to have for any of this work are the deal makers, and pulling the deal makers together to make a deal happen. And can you just talk a little about that? Because if you don't get the deal makers, you don't have a project.
Absolutely. What we're talking about here, and where I believe the public sector's role is to create an environment that is that's nurturing and welcomes the deal makers. In other words, you have professionals that can execute, but they're not going to come in if they don't feel the environment is friendly. And some of the people that you're talking to now in the past have not felt that this was a friendly environment. Mm-hmm. So we're wanting to make it very clear that it is.
Right. Okay. Because that's extremely important when you have those deal makers. And because I'm having to meet with some of these deal makers just for District 7, it is extremely hard. But convincing them to come into an area that have some cold issues, some housing issues, some lack of, but I think I can convince them to come because you take that Jack in the Box, for example. Just in one day when that Jack in the Box opened on Robert B. Cullum, it sold more burgers than any Jack in the Box in the country. When Subway opened, it sold more sandwiches than all the Subways in the country. So there is something out there that people are hungry for, and what they're hungry for is a new approach and new development. Thank you. AC.
Not to take anything away from what you just said, but to give it another little flavor of it, it's not only the deal makers, but as importantly, it's the investment dollars, the bankers that will be willing to put the money up to make these projects become reality. We're starting to see the momentum change where investment into the area south of the Trinity is beginning to happen in a major way.
Right.
Hundreds of millions of dollars are being thought of as something that is a safe, good investment. And we're really wanting and needing to nurture that momentum and make sure that it continues.
And the last thing, I really would like to think, I'm working with Code in District 7. And we're doing an extremely good job of deep cleaning. In the first area that we went into, we picked up about 500 tons of trash. That's a lot of trash for one area. And we just have to keep working and working. And you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan. And so without a plan, then you're stuck at the same point that when you first came in. So I think the plan that I have for District 7, I think it will be a good plan. It's a plan that I'm going to use. I'm going to continue to work on. I have a town hall meeting on Saturday to talk about this plan and the approach. But I really want to thank you, Carl. Thank Jill Jordan, who has worked with me on trying to make this plan work. So I just want to get a good, before we vote on this, I just like to make sure that there are some things that's included here, from housing, from economic development, park, everything, to make a whole package deal work for District 7.
If we don't have a holistic approach, it really isn't going to achieve what we want.
Absolutely.
Ms. Davis, I appreciate your comments and would just reinforce what you said. This is designed to be a broad strategic look from a city standpoint from a multi-area. It certainly doesn't preclude the things you're talking about. And again, the Ferguson Road Initiative is a great example of that. It may not rise to some of the things that we're talking about here, but clearly some good things happening. We have those pockets all the way through the city. But this is designed to be a broad, very broad brush look, kind of a framework, a strategic framework for what we can accomplish and the major investments that we're going to need to make. Appreciate that. Mr. Kerway?
All right. Thank you, Mayor, and colleagues, and to Mr. Atkins for having us here. And he mentioned earlier, and I wrote a little note about it, you mentioned that the citizens can fire us, and which is true, but it took me so long to get here that I want to stay a little while, so I'm going to try to, but don't fire me yet. It took me a little while. Let me say that to Mitchell Renzansky, council member, and my colleague, he made a pledge and a commitment to begin to focus even more on the financial aspects and needs of our area. And Mitch, we're going to hold you to that, and I know that you meant it from your heart. And so, yes, and we're going to make sure that we do that. I want to just make a few comments in general and just to the entire community, because I do represent District 4, but we have a cross-section of districts represented here this evening. So I'm making some pretty general comments. It's our responsibility to, one, make sure that our community is clean. All of the problems that we're having are not just the responsibility of the Dallas City Council and the code enforcement. It's also our responsibilities as neighbors. We may have to go back to some of the old programs that once made this city work, and maybe it's tell it on your neighbor. When you see something, we do have the phone numbers for you to call, but if you don't call, code enforcement officers are not just driving down each and every street every day. So we have to have community participation, and you have to pick up that telephone and use some of the very convenient numbers, one such as 311, and if the neighbor says something back to you, escalate it to the 911. Now, it is very, very key that we take back control of our community. We have many churches in our communities. And just as many churches that we have in our community, we have just as many crack houses. And we've talked about cleaning things up. And it was mentioned by one of my colleagues earlier that who would want to move a corporate business or a business of any kind when and in an area that is plagued with crime. Now, we can play the game, and we can say to each and every one of you, if you had an opportunity and you subsequently had the dollars to invest, where would you invest, and where would you feel safe with your business? And that is one reason why this particular council, led by, and we continue to give accolades to our mayor. But he's deserving of those accolades. And I encourage each and every one of us here, let's take advantage of this mayor and his commitment to this community while we got him focused and committed to make a difference. We haven't had it in a long time, but we do have it now. We don't need to look backwards at the clock as to what did not take place. We understand that the boarded houses, the stray dogs, the broken streets, the underutilized areas, the retail, all of the things that's plaguing us and trash in our community, it did not just arrive last year. When you look at the map, and we looked and we saw the map up north, and we saw the blue, how it is economically flourishing. And you saw where in our area, in the southern portion, that it has not. Well, we can't worry about the blue. We have to continue to support it, but we have to collectively begin to work together and move our little area that was filled with yellow and challenge to make it just as blue as the other. We talk about Starbucks. And let me just tell you, I'm a fighter for the little bitty people. Now, of course, we love to have Starbucks, but now, I'm not really a coffee drinker, and I don't know who made the coffee this morning at City Hall, but it was coffee, and it certainly was not Starbucks. Here's where I am going. We have to concentrate as well on empowerment.
And it doesn't take a $4 or $6 cup of coffee to give you that energy. That Starbucks had to start somewhere. And I encourage each and every one of you small entrepreneurs, if Starbucks can serve and sell coffee for $4 and $5, you need to rush over and start selling you some coffee for $2.50 and call it Big Mama's Coffee. I don't know what you want to call it, but at the same token, this is how we will begin to empower our own community. We don't have to sit back and wait and depend on somebody to come when we are already there. Now, one thing that I will say, and you know, when you look at our areas, and Carl, if you wouldn't mind, please let me just ask you to take the microphone, because we go through an exercise every day. And Carl, I'd love for you to repeat after me.
I know what you're going to say.
Well, just go on and say it.
How's my shopping center doing today?
All right. Then which one am I talking about?
North Park.
Oh, come on now. Now, wait a minute.
North Lancaster Keys.
All right. Now, here's the deal. The reason that we are even talking about Lancaster Keys Shopping Center and Corridor is because it sits in the hub, in the middle of our geographic area in southern portion of Dallas Oak Cliff. My thing has been this. I've invited my council members out. We've had several tours. It's been written in the paper that I was hands-on and I was trying to run the police department. I was doing all these different things. But at the same token, you've also heard them say that you have to come out here and see what you're talking about, because you can't expect for us to make decisions on a piece of paper or just a report. My colleagues, and it serves us all well, for them to see with their own eyes exactly some of the deplorable conditions and the needs that we have as a community, so that when we're talking about it, and that is why I'm so passionate with Mitchell Rezansky, because he knows firsthand, because he has seen with his own eyes now some of the very things that we've been needing and wanting to have. They have a more realistic opinion of the needs of the southern portion of this city. We will continue to fight crime. Why is it that I've set my feet on the ground to deal with the crime? And I was talking to your wife today, Mayor, and she said to me, because we have gone out together knocking on the doors of the crack houses. We have stood up knocking down and challenging the drug-ridden motels that you see in your community. We have torn down crack houses and torn down motels and have pushed the city attorney's office to continue this initiative. It is very important, collectively, our council member Davis concentrates on housing. Our council member Atkins concentrates on economic development, that we work as a team together, because it's very difficult for Atkins to try to help solve crime, and I'm not solving crime in just District 4. When we knock down motels, they were not in my district. When we attacked drug houses, some of them were in my district, some were in Tanell's district, some were over in other districts and other areas. This is an effort that we are doing for the city of Dallas. So if I'm focusing in under the strong leadership of our chair of public safety, if I'm focusing in on crime, if Tanell is focusing in on economic development, if Carolyn is focusing in on housing, if Councilwoman Muncia Hill is focusing in on the trash and those efforts, and the other council members are kicking in and we're all working together, then at that point we will achieve something in a timely fashion and get some things done. But it's very, very important for you all to know, one, we appreciate you all being here. Two, I wish we could have these kind of meetings at City Hall. When we go to City Hall, we get hollered at. Y'all see some of this stuff on television. You guys are being very, very, we love you all. We are very patient. But at the same token, it takes more community meetings, more interaction with each and every one of us, your council members, and then, and last, and I'll close, and if I do get a second round, I'll come back, but I doubt if I do. But let me say this. There have been some things that were addressed as related to DISD. This type of meeting should be the example of the same type of meeting that you will hold with DISD so that we can hold them accountable for the things that they are responsible for. It only helps and takes some of the heat off of us, but we do bear and have our share, but not the bulk of it. We're not the educators of the kids, but you all are the community, and you all are their boss, too. When it comes to DART, and we had some issues with DART at the Lancaster Keys line on just yesterday, I went there just to take a picture. But when I arrived, it was, well, it had problems. Let me say it that way. And it had problems that you will only find in an area that's been overlooked. There were kids out, actually, you would think they had a casino going right over on the property. But these are the things that you all need to show up in numbers, address these things to DART, so that the DART responsibility and the DART police and the DART maintenance people can come together. The same responsibility for your county commissioner's office, your state representative office, your justice of the peace office, your constable's office. We have all of these people with overlapping responsibilities. And I just really want you all to know, I heard it, Mayor. I really want you all to know that hold everybody accountable. And if we hold each and every department accountable, then some of the very things that we are trying to accomplish, we may find ourselves putting even those on a fast track. So just kind of want to say those few things, but look out for great development. Please continue to appreciate and support this city council. This is the very best city council that I've ever had the pleasure to serve with. This is the only one.
And we're all glad that you kept it to just a few items, too.
Just a few items. But anyway, thank you all very much, and I want you all to know one last thing, and I am through. And this is it, man, but this is very important. All of these responsibilities that we've told you about tonight, and we're just talking about the southern sector, is very important for you all to know that there's more responsibility because I represent Buckner Terrace and Pleasant Grove, as do Councilwoman Hill, Councilwoman Davis, as part of Pleasant Grove, and Councilmember Atkins. And that is something that you all need to know. So the mountain of problems that you see us having and trying to address right here in just this area, our areas are stretched like this. And at some point, we must begin to address how we can kind of close in those districts a little bit so that we can provide you a better service. But our police department is on the one. They're doing a great job. Chief Conkle, Chief Scott, Chief Watson, and Chief Scott, and Chief Paul Hill. I thought Paul Hill. We thank you all very much. Thank you all for enduring my long speech. Thank you very much, Mayor.
We do have to ask, once we get done, we still got 8 action items we've got to deal with. Mr. Kotinski?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I sort of feel like maybe I just should have yielded my time to Mr. Carraway and we could all get out of here a lot quicker. But, you know, for those of you that are not familiar, District 12 is so far north that some of my colleagues, when they visit me up there, want to know if they have to have a passport to go north of 635. And, Mr. Carraway, I am from the land of the blue people up there. But I want you to know that it is just as important to far north Dallas that we have economic development and success in the southern sector as it is to those people in the southern sector. Mr. Zavikowski had a slide early on where it showed that 70% of the bond program money that was voted on was going to the southern sector, and those bond programs were strongly supported by the people in the northern part of the city. Why is it important? Because if we can make the pie a lot bigger and a lot more successful, it benefits everybody in this city. So we have as much in it as you do. One thing I'd like to sort of comment on that you've heard a lot about, you know, the trash and the bad neighborhoods and the code and all that. There are a lot of good neighborhoods in the southern sector. I've been to them. Y'all live in a lot of them. Doesn't mean this is not problems, but I think sometimes we get so engaged in the problems that we've got, all we're doing is we feel like we're walking around with a, you know, black cloud over our head, and all we're seeing is all the negative stuff. So let's not forget about the good things that we've already got down here. The other thing, Mr. Zabakowski, I think that we need to do with regards to this great presentation that you put together is we have had successes over the last 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure when we want to start counting the clock, but I think we ought to pick a spot. We need to quantify the successes that we've made, and we need to chart them. And we also need to continue that chart into the future, because you've got all these things, and everybody keeps going back to slide 33. That may be the slide that gets the golden sticker, Carl, for the best slide or the most used slide in the presentation. But when you talk about trying to get a manufacturing facility, and you're talking about 500 jobs, and then you're talking about 3 grocery stores and those things, it's hard for people to keep track of all that as we move forward and make our successes. So I think a couple of things I'd like to see added into the presentation as we move forward and try to fine-tune it are the successes, what we've invested in the past, and what we've gained as a result of those, and what it's going to cost us, just from an estimation, to gain the successes that we want in the future, and begin charting those so that we can get quarterly reports or we can get annual reports and look and see the return on investment. Because we've had some really good luck in investments that we've done, TIF districts and other things, where our return on investment is the kind of stuff that would make the stock market shocked, okay? So we know how to do it. We know how to invest our money efficiently and effectively and get a good return on it. But I think we need to be able to show those things, and that's going to get the people engaged. The other thing Mr. Carraway, I believe, touched on it a little bit, teaming up with the city. This is not just about, and I tell the same things to the neighborhoods in my district, this is not just about sitting back and waiting for the Dallas Police Department to solve crime. You have got to take and be engaged in it. You've got to get engaged in crime watches, VIPs. You've got to be active in your community. The same thing works with code. You can't just sit back, as Mr. Carraway said, and I'm just emphasizing it, because he's not going to get a second round, so I'm just going to help drill some of his points in. You can't wait for code to solve your problems. You need to get engaged. So I think what we need to come away with from this meeting is we put a vision in front of you as to what, to the best of our economic development staff, they've taken everything and come up with this vision. We need to know, does this fit your, are you happy with it? Do we need to tweak it? What don't you like about it? What do we need to add to it that's not there? And then we need to move forward with it, and we need your partnership to help move it forward. And the last thing is, it's going to involve change. And sometimes change is very, very uncomfortable. And there may be things that come as a result of the successes that we want to put forward in this area that at first blush, we may have this, you know, not in my backyard kind of attitude. And I just think you need to be very patient and try to look into the future a little bit, and maybe not be so selfish towards some of the things, because change is not comfortable, is not very comfortable, and a lot of people just don't want it. But if we want to have the successes that we're going to try to do in the southern sector, it's going to involve change. So work with us, stay in contact with us. You've got some great council members representing this part of town. You've also got some great council members that represent other districts, and they have as much invested as Coop does, Jerry Allen, myself, everybody in the other parts of the city, whether it be north, east, west. We all have a really serious vested interest in the success of the southern sector. So feel free to call on any of us anytime you want. And thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. We've got a couple more council members, but I want to make sure it's getting a little bit longer than we anticipated. Again, very important topic. What I'll do after we finish the remaining council members is I'm going to open the microphones up. So we'll go for about 15 minutes or so. I understand it's getting a little bit late, and try to keep each of the comments 2 minutes. But if anybody in the audience would like to make comments with regard to this or anything else, after we get done with this item, before we go to the action items, we'll open it up for 15 minutes, so we'll get probably 6 or 7 speakers at least. With that, Ms. Hill?
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Zawakowski, thank you for an excellent, excellent presentation. Citizens, shortly after I had the privilege of coming into this office that you have so graciously allowed me to serve in, I sounded as my theme, clean, safe, and prosperous. My council colleagues have been kind enough to pick up that theme. You have heard several of them talk about clean this evening. A clean city is a safe city, is a prosperous city. We did not just adopt that as a theme in District 5, we put feet to it. Early on, we had what we branded as Trash Attack. We have branded that. It is District 5's brand. We will not allow the other districts to use that brand. Trash Attack is exactly what it says. We get out as the district and we clean it up. We pick up the trash, we put it away, and we're not seeing it anymore, and we are letting it be known that trash on the streets of District 5 is unacceptable. If you see someone putting trash there, tell them, this is District 5, we don't do that. If it's clean, it's safe. Because a neighborhood that's clean is a neighborhood that's cared for, and that will bring in economic opportunity and businesses. We do have economic opportunity in the UNT corridor, but I do not want us to forget that that corridor includes Paul Quinn College. That is a great educational partnership, and we will want to mention Paul Quinn every time we mention UNT. We also have a tremendous economic opportunity in the Lancaster corridor for District 5. That means we start at the Veterans Hospital and go down to Loop 12. Mr. Zawakowski has been very conscious of that, and we will be developing that area. We also want to be very careful of our perception. The perception of our part of town is that we don't have money and we have lots of crime. Untrue. The crime in our section of town is not different statistically from any other section of town. And if you think I don't know what I'm talking about, I will share with you the statistics. Our crime is no different than Mr. Natinsky's or anybody else's. So when they talk about how much crime we have, you stand up and you say, not true. It's no different than anywhere else. And when they say, we don't have any money to spend, say, not true, because we're spending some money somewhere. We eat somewhere. We shop somewhere. I believe that that should be where we live. Mr. Stimson has told me how we develop economically and how investors look at where to put their shops. Well, Mr. Stimson, I certainly believe what you say, but I do not accept it. I continue to say we have money here, and therefore the restaurants can come here, the leisure activities can come here, the grocery stores can come here, and I will not stop saying that until somebody will catch on, and in order to make me stop saying it, they will bring them here. I want to comment just briefly on something I heard the mayor say earlier, just so that we do not get a misperception. The mayor mentioned earlier that all of us have to work together, and one of the entities that he mentioned in our enforcement effort is the courts. I'm sure that the mayor did not intend to imply that the courts are not independent entities. He did not intend to imply that. The courts are independent entities, and the courts are designed to make sure that you are treated fairly and justly. One of our judges is here, Judge Williams. All of the judges make sure that if you are a citizen accused, you will have a fair day in court. You will have a fair hearing. please do not think that the courts are a tool of any other department. And I, as I said, I'm sure the mayor did not intend to imply that, but I wanted to clarify that just so you, our citizens, would understand. Finally, I want to say to you citizens what an excellent, excellent city staff that we have. We have the finest that there is. We, the policymakers, are happy to be here and to be allowed to serve you, but we cannot do what we do without our city staff. They are the best that there is. Yes, we have problems. Yes, we have a long way to go. Yes, we will receive complaints. But all of those yeses are balanced by the enormous yes of our fantastic staff. I want you to know that, and I want to thank them publicly. Thank you, Mayor.
Great call. Thank you very much. Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I wanted to thank Mr. Atkins for hosting us in his district, as well as the Jet Center of Dallas and Executive Airport. And thanks to all of you for coming here this evening, for spending your evening. And I know the mayor said we are running a little long, but take heart, we're almost halfway through. We've only got 2 more hours, so sit back and enjoy the ride like we do every Wednesday. I'll be very, very, very brief. Number one, I entirely agree with the comments that we've heard about code enforcement and cleaning up South Dallas. That's absolutely, positively critical. It begins with code enforcement, and it begins with our police, and we have to make additional inroads there if we are to create the economic revitalization of the southern sector. Could not agree more. And Mr. Zabakowski and to the chair of our economic committee for the southern sector, Mr. Atkins, I would like us to, when we focus on bringing new businesses to the southern sector, especially the large businesses, the ones that are going to be the large employers. As I've said before, I hope that as we work with them on public-private partnerships and public incentives, that we will investigate having an employment requirement. Because I think, Ms. Davis, you brought up an excellent point about the southern sector versus South Dallas. I think we all want to take a regional approach, but I think we also have to be very sensitive to the fact that we represent Dallas. We represent constituents who live in our city, and we want to make sure that they are employed, that they get fair wages. And so as we look at tax incentives to large employers, as we look at other types of incentives to bring businesses to the southern sector, it's important that they are creating employment. It's more important that they are hiring Dallas residents, in my opinion. And so I hope that we can, that Mr. Atkins will consider reviewing that as a criteria and making a certain threshold of Dallas residents as part of their employees. Mr. Mayor, those are all my comments. I did want to make one point. I noticed that we have a number of members of boards and commissions here this evening. I think a couple of them may have left. If you're a member of a board or commission, would you please stand up so we can recognize you? These are volunteers who spend their time. Thank you very much for being here and for serving the city. I also wanted to say briefly, you know, this was a hangar just a few hours ago, and now it's a fantastic council room and meeting room. Thank you to the city staff who worked so hard to transform this and make it so nice to all of them. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Dr. Garcia.
Thank you, Mayor. And very briefly, I know that one of the main excitements about having this meeting was to listen to you, to our eyes and to our ears in the community, because the reality is we have the vision. You just hear it. The goal is simple, that the southern sector provides a commercial tax base growth and all the elements needed to have safe, clean, prosperous neighborhoods. That's the goal. That's the vision. We have some of the tools here, but a lot of changes are going to have to occur. And we all know that. I think Mr. Nadinsky hit it right on the nail when he said change is hard, but if we want to have a different environment, we are going to have to change. We're a city that continues to grow, and we're going to have to do something different when it comes to animal control, when it comes to public safety, from random fire education all the way to decreasing the response time and be more aggressive hiring police officers that we need. But main thing is that we are investing 70% of the three last bomb packages in the southern sector. And that couldn't happen without the support of the mayor, council, and my colleagues in the north side of the city that know how important it is for the southern sector to succeed. So with that, Mayor, I would like to thank you. Thank you, Mr. Atkin, our host, our staff, and, of course, to all of you who continue to get involved, that even when we go for 4 or 5 hours, I still get those calls that say, and I listen to the council meeting all the 7 hours. Well, thanks to all of you, because you are really the people that are making the difference in our city. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much, Dr. Garcia. In summary, Carl, thank you very much for the presentation. I think the consensus of the council is that this is a good overview, a strategic framework, so we need to move forward on that. We would clearly ask staff to pursue issues like the Lancaster Initiative, to start bringing back some things in the next several months so that we can work with the community on things like the housing stock and preparing for the next bond program so that we can build that capital base for housing. And then, as indicated by a number, some of the other issues. So if you'll continue to work on that. But I think as a consensus, we feel comfortable this is a framework, a strategic framework that we can move forward with. Now, what I would ask to do is, if anybody would like to make comments, again, we would like to hear from you. Why don't you go ahead and proceed to each of the podiums, if you would. While you're doing that, I would like to make a couple of introductions. And I think there's some cards there, too. Mr. Perkins, could you stand up? Tom Perkins is our city attorney, as you've heard, been involved in a lot of different issues. We've gotten him involved in a breadth of different topics, especially in the last several months. He's been very instrumental. And then Deborah Watkins. Deborah is in the back. She is our city secretary. Both of these individuals spend an awful lot of time, and of course, together with Mary Soom, our city manager, I'm going to ask Mary in just a moment to go ahead and introduce her assistant city manager, and then Craig Kenton, which is our auditor. Craig, would you stand up too? These are the key individuals in that city staff that we talked about. We've got 13,000 people that are very dedicated, but I want you to see the senior people. Mary, could you introduce the chief and your ACM?
Just very quickly, Ryan Evans is the first assistant city manager over our key focus area of public safety. AC Gonzalez over economic development, which we've been discussing tonight. Ramon Migas works on the economic development side too, and his efforts are in the area of the enterprise funds that support economic development, water, and so forth. Jill Jordan's responsibility is the Trinity, and we need a single focus on that, so she's committed to that. And David Brown is an interim ACM who works in the police department. We are planning for the long range and knowing that people will move up in their jobs and change their jobs, and David's taking this opportunity to learn more globally about the city. Our chief financial officer, who's very, very important to the money, Dave Cook. And I'm just going to quickly go through our department director, because there are a lot of people here tonight that you heard conversations about. Teresa O'Donnell, Planning and Development, Jerry Killingsworth, Housing, Chief Kunkel, Chief of Police, Kelly Hyde, your Streets Director, Forrest Turner is responsible for Code, Rick Galceran is our new Public Works Director, Kenneth Gwynn, Strategic Customer Service. We need to be focusing on our service to you as our customers. Carl Zawakowski, you met Economic Development. Dan Weber, Aviation Director. And Frank Librio, Director of Public Information. Thank all y'all for being here tonight.
Thank you very much. I counted 11 people in line. We'll limit it to that if you don't mind. And I'm going to be ruthless on 2 minutes. We want to hear from you, but we're also conscious of the time. Go ahead, please.
You will have 2 minutes to speak. There will be a timer on the screen. When you see 30 seconds, that means the light will turn amber. When you see the red light, that means stop speaking and allow the other individual to speak. If you will all please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Tony Anderson. My address is 3829 City Hollow. I'm in Dave Newman's district and met Mr. Newman, you know, grassroots. I came here today to thank Councilman Atkins. We had a meeting and he was real passionate about what he wanted to do in his area. And so I'm proud to announce that after meeting with Mr. Atkins, that I've put a contract on the old 5 and 10 theater that we're going to turn into an event center. Because of the southern sector, we need something of that magnitude. So again, I want to thank you. Thank him and thank y'all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for being here, Tony.
My name is Jose Garza. I live at 6110 South Crocker Hill. Can I take his time, by the way?
No.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to our district. Like Mr. Rozanski, I was born and raised in this city, but unlike Mr. Rozanski, I was born and raised in West Dallas. But I live here in Oak Cliff now. I'm going up in Stashman. I'm rich Mexican, I guess. I've seen this city, mayor after mayor, city council after city council, throughout the years, and we still have the problems that we do. We still have bad roads. We still have bad services, bad police service. And how can this city tell us, the citizens, to do something about it when the city can't even get it straight? We have problems that have been here, and they're not being fixed. How can we go to the zoo, to Fair Park, to the mall, or anywhere else when we go down the roads are bad. We tear up our cars, we have to spend money. Nobody pays us for that. I have my tax bill right now sitting at home. How do I feel about paying my taxes when the roads can't even get fixed? All we want is the basic services done. And we can't even get that done. Yeah, I want new buildings, I want stadiums, I want everything for this city. This is a great city. It was a great city. I want it to be a great city. For the first time in my life, last year, I thought about moving to another city, far from Dallas. I was embarrassed to be part of this city. As a matter of fact, Mr. Salazar there and I, his family and my family, we're neighbors. His brother and I served in the Marine Corps together. So I know this city. I'm going to do my part. It's going to be a great weekend this weekend. I don't have an excuse. I'm going to have to go out there and clean my yard, and I'm going to try to do the best I can to get this city looking great and being a great city again. And thank you for your time.
I appreciate that. I am going to ask Forrest if you could get together with him. I'd like to get a little bit more specific on some of the things.
I can talk for hours.
We'll kind of pull it off, but I got a gentleman that will visit with you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, my name is John Collins. I live at 2323 North Houston Victory Park. I've been a citizen of the city for a very long time. I applaud the effort that the council is doing. I know everyone has a great passion for the city. However, development has a tendency to follow 3 D's, demand, design, and develop. And I think everybody in the community have those 3 D's. However, when you spotlight community assets like what we have on page 33, you sometimes inadvertently can cause speculation to go rapid. In an area where you're already going to have to use a lot of entitlement dollars to subsidize the total development cost, that makes it very difficult for developers to come in and get a yield or return on investment. Money seeks a place to rest anywhere in the free world. It's simply looking for a rate of return. When you can get that rate of return at a measurable risk, then you can encourage and excite development. But that is a process. The perception becomes the reality. And so the reality of the situation is we all want growth in the southern sector, and for years have talked about it, but for 50 years or more, nothing larger than the Oak Cliff building, Bank of America building has been built. And that's simply because so many impediments. The only other thing I'd like to talk about with my remaining time is that if we are going to be serious about this, we must streamline the process for developers, large and small, when they approach the city and the city staff. I hope that you're working on that, because the economic cycles in a development process is very difficult at time at best. And so when you miss that timeline for absorption, for demand, for the things that must happen in a development process, then you also put at risk that development happening with the different people that are serving now. time does pass. These things doesn't happen in a vacuum. They sometimes take years to develop, and patience is a virtue in this situation. So I hope that when we move forward, we will look at these projects as public-private partnerships where you have everyone, as you're doing, now involved in the process up front, and then bringing new players to the table who can also help make that happen. Again, the large developers, you know, they have projects to work on, but you're going to have to include some mid-sized small developers in the process. Thank you, and I think I got 1 minute left.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much for your comments. I would tell you, not only on this council, but in the staff, too, you've got people that have been involved in the business and want to accomplish the same thing in terms of dealing with the process that you talked about. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mayor.
Good evening. My name is Barbara Upchurch. I live at 2836 Bonniewood. I'm speaking on my own behalf. I am a native Dallasite and 20 years in Oak Cliff. What we want is quality of life. While we want affordable housing in our neighbors, we don't want the lowest and the most subsidized housing built in Oak Cliff all the time. We'd like to see some of the rest of you get to have some of that. I appreciate you taking them on a tour to paint you a picture. I live a mile north of the airport. If I want to go to the movie, I can go to Grand Prairie, I can go to Cedar Hill, I can go to Lancaster, I can go to Mesquite. If I want to go to a real shopping center, I can go to the new one that's opening in Cedar Hill in a couple of weeks. I can go to Arlington. I can go to Mesquite, or I might even go up to North Park, but there's a lot of traffic between here and there. So we're missing a lot of things. They act like because we are at a lower economic level than the people in North Dallas. You know, we do go to the grocery store. We do go shopping. And lofty ideas, you made my head spin when you said you might open two grocery stores in southern Dallas in the next 2 years. I know you're trying, and I appreciate your efforts. And the real reason I got up here is a concern I have in your economic development. I believe you have recently signed or about to sign a contract for gas drilling. And as I recall reading in the newspaper a few months ago when they talked about it, two of the city locations that are possible are this airport and Keith's Park. And I'd like to make sure, Mr. Newman, that we have some input when all this starts happening. I've been watching the news and the other cities who have it. So we don't want you to come down and develop our gas wells. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, Council, Dwayne, we're not going to let them fire you, brother. I want you to stay around for a long time because so far you've been doing an excellent job. My name is Steve Washington, and I live at 717 Town Creek Drive. As part of economic development, I think one of the things that we need to be conscious of is jobs coming into the community and making sure that those jobs and the needs meet. I was looking at the news this afternoon, and we see that there are three or four nursing programs that have closed down because they were not licensed. I was a member of the Private Industry Council some years ago, and I do not know how we can subsidize programs for medical training and they're not licensed. I mean, it's just totally ridiculous. And we got all these kids that are taking out these loans and everything, and the place is not licensed. There are four of them. My daughter's attending one now, and I pray to God that it is licensed. But we need to make sure that these organizations that we subsidize in terms of those monies, that we make sure that they are quality and that they meet all the standards that need to be met in terms of providing a avenue for our kids, for our children, to be able to move right along and not have any issues. And I think that's a major part of economic development also. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Airport.
My name is Stanley Musa with Ambassador of Aviation and Dallas Executive Airport, this airport. I want to thank Councilman Atkins for supporting the airport. It's very simple. We are now in a hangar like this. This is approximately $500,000 to $600,000 to build and construct. We need many, many more like these hangars in our airport because, very simple, hangars like this will bring what I call them the snowbirds. The snowbirds are the people that live north of the Trinity River. I want them, I want, I want the snowbirds to come here and look at this beautiful country. This is a hill country. And the more hangars we build, the more we can bring the snowbirds to come and hang in our airports here and create the economic developments that we are looking for our southern area. I want the council to help us, please, build more hangars like this. I call the hangars like a town hangar. It's a steel hangar like this with a little office on the outside that look like a townhouse. I think this is a beautiful development that can come in and help. The Dallas Executive Airport is an inland port for our area. It is the economic engine for the growth of this area. It is very important for the city of Dallas, and the city of Dallas don't own the buildings and the land at this airport. So please help us bring the snowbirds here so they can develop and they can invest money in our area. Thank you very much.
We appreciate that. Earlier, we was talking about a 7,000-foot runway. Just for the record, the runway here is 6,451 feet. Thank you, please.
My name is Lionel Churchill, and I live at 7439 San Jose in the southern part of Dallas County, and I'm from District 8, Daniel Atkins District. One of the things I would like to bring to the attention of the council tonight is a small park in our area that was created in 1968, 4 acres, and it's still 4 acres, and we're having a difficult time trying to get them to increase that to a larger park to serve the area. And we have a great number of people there, a great number of children, and we've got a wooded acre, and when I talked to various people, I was told that they wanted to keep it wooded for echo purposes for wild animals. Well, we're concerned with people where we live, and we'd like to have a place for these children to play. Also, I have a concern, that is the dark rail, which now you know there's a dark rail that runs down Lancaster Avenue. When I looked at one of the plans here tonight, it seemed there's a proposal to run dark rail down Stimson Stewart Road. And we think that's a travesty to this city to keep putting railroads and streets in an area that has no access. We're cut off for exiting our community at Lancaster Road because of all the truck stops encompassing that corner. And then the next corner we have truck stops encompassing the Bonneview corner. So we think the city has not paid particular attention to what it needs to do to help this area facilitate its traffic movement. So I'm asking that you take a careful look at those parks and facilities for open space, because I think that's a part of the good life, when people have the ability to go down to a park and enjoy themselves, especially when now we're having lot sizes that are 50 feet wide and 90 feet, so people have no opportunity zone land that they own except public parks for recreation. Thank you.
Terrific. A couple things you said, Councilmember Atkins just kind of discuss some things with him. I'm going to have him get together with you afterwards because some of the things may not be quite as you understand, so I think that conversation will help.
Okay.
So I'll have him get with you. Is that all right, Mr.? Yes. Terrific. Thank you.
Kevin Felder, 8404 Capriola in Dallas. First thing I'd like to do is congratulate this council. I think that this is true democracy in action when you bring the meeting to the people. And so I'd like to applaud everybody for doing this. And I'd like to know which one of you stole my idea. Anyway, the second thing is I'd like to challenge the council to take the opportunity to take it a step further. Consider changing the hours of the city council meetings to make it more accessible to people who cannot make it during the regular hours. That's my challenge to you. Then finally, I'd like to go to the presentation that Carl did. It was a very good presentation. One thing I'd like to add to it, the pursuit of single-family housing tax credits. That has been on the president's desk and in the Congress for about 2 or 3 years now. And if we would, as a city council, would pursue that and lobby our state and federal officials, our federal elected officials, I think that would benefit this area. Because these tax credits would provide incentives for builders and developers who otherwise would not invest in these areas. Also, these tax credits have not yet been approved by federal and state officials, and so we still have that opportunity to achieve the benefits of those tax credits. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Janet Shepherd, 504 South Ravinia. I would like for Mr. Salazar and everyone else to know that we actually have currently a racetrack in Oak Cliff, and it's on my street. Additionally, the people in those cars engage in target practice, and the targets are the neighbors and the houses. And you don't want to know how much we have spent on roof repair and collapsed ceilings. I'm considering next year not paying my property taxes because it's not fair when there is so many bullets that cause damage to houses and we have to spend that much money on repairs. Now, two recommendations. I would like to recommend a citywide major campaign against drug houses using billboards, media encouragement to citizens to report drug houses. Most people who know about drug houses are too scared to report them, so they need some encouragement. We've got to get rid of these drug houses before we can really clean up. Second, our recommendation is that when we have a drug house in a neighborhood which has been there, say, 20 years, we demolish it. And there are certain people within the city who know exactly what house I'm talking about. I think there is a law against a public nuisance. The years and the decades go by, and we've still got the house. I think we need to demolish it.
Appreciate it. Just quick comments on identifying more of them. That conversation has already been held. We're working on a process with the city attorney to try to identify those. It'll probably be less media and more going into the community so that we get better information. The second one, in terms of the demolishing and that sort of thing, we're using every tool we can. Last week we boarded some up. We have torn some down. We're using 54, 125, a whole host of different tools to try to do that.
I'd like to put one on that list.
Deal. Okay. With that, I'm going to have city attorney, but I'm also going to ask a representative of the police department to get with her, too. That'd be all right? Brian, could you? Perfect. Super. Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for holding this meeting. My name is Chris Lomax. I live at 6430 Dixie Garden Lane. Our community is attempting to form a CD. It has been mentioned here tonight that homeowners associations and protecting your community is very important. Well, it's very important to my community, too. We've been in this process thinking that we were in line for a study for over a year and a half to find out 3 weeks ago that we weren't, that we were not approved at all. I want to know if the city council has discontinued conservation districts, if they have abandoned them. If the answer to that question is no, why does it take so long to get them passed? Why was there only one that did pass last year? And before you answer that to me, I would like to know also if you are going to energize that department to get them moving.
Fair enough. I'm going to have Teresa get together with you. Teresa, could you hook up in just a couple of minutes, and she'll lay out the process where we stand with you. Thank you.
I know the process.
She'll update you on your question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I am Ginger Riley, and I am honored to be the appointee for Dr. Elva Garcia on the Senior Affairs Commission. The Senior Affairs Commission deals with concerns and problems of senior citizens. I would like to call your attention to the need of affordable senior housing, really all senior housing, but especially affordable senior housing. There is a scarcity of senior housing in Dallas that is unbelievable. There are very few apartments that senior citizens who are only on Social Security can afford. And we all know that the baby boomers are now becoming senior citizens. So I just wanted to make you aware of the need for senior housing, and I hope that senior housing can be developed in the southern sector. We desperately need apartments that are affordable to low-income seniors, and if any of you are in churches or know ministers who who are interested in affordable housing, we would like for you to contact the Senior Affairs Commission office at 214-670-5709. 214-670-5709. We on the Senior Affairs Commission are trying to broaden communication between churches and ministers who are interested in affordable senior housing or, period, senior housing. Thank you very much, and thank you, Elwood.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Good evening. My name is Jim Reed. I reside at 1529 Seeger and councilperson in Medrano's district. I work, shop, go to church and recreate in Southern Dallas. I want to elaborate on the latter. Also, I knew the mayor would be good when he came to my church in Southern Dallas in Lamar and Pear, St. Paul, and he stayed through two services. He did a better job than I usually do on Sunday. Anyway, basically, I'd like to speak from a different point of view conceptually in terms of how you're approaching Southern Dallas. You're talking about physical development and projects and top-down, and that's the way we have think of doing business in Dallas. I'd like to talk from a human capital building up. 450,000 people live in Southern Dallas, okay? And you have to restore the human capital and the income and the education, the opportunity for growth, if you're really going to have meaningful change, okay, instead of just changing a neighborhood and something moves someplace else. So I did some work for the city in another capacity recently and came across two initiatives in terms of people. One was in San Antonio, where they have a Department of Community Initiatives as a family economic success program. They work directly on the city level with the families in the city to help them be successful. The second thing is that the United Way nationally has got something they call the Financial Stability Partnership, really trying to make people make good decisions in terms of financing and banking and income raising and assets and so forth. Last point is empowerment, the point that Councilman Chermer made. From an economic development point of view, you have three strategies: attract, grow what you have, and then growing your own, economic gardening. We need to pay attention to empowerment and economic development, helping entrepreneurs. People are already here. Let's help them be part of the process. They can do it. The city needs to enable them to be partners with them. Thank you.
Good comments, good thoughts. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor and my other wonderful friends on the City Council, thank you for hosting this wonderful meeting. My name is Ewing Mosley, and I reside in District 14, Angela Hunt District. And I'm interested in anything that goes on in my city because my family has been here for well over 100 years. And it amazes me that Whole Foods has not opened a store over here. Why we don't have a signature Kroger or a signature Tom Thumb over here, because you people that live in over here eat the same food that I eat. And why hasn't Gables or Post built apartments over here? They're doing it in Oklahoma. They're doing it in North Dallas. They're going up to Addison. Why can't they tear down substandard housing here and build? Is this not good enough for them, or is it too good for them? I applaud the Dallas police for the wonderful job they did in protecting Senator Obama today. And I was taught my first day at University Park School that the policemen and the firemen are your two best friends. And I have a ritual that I do every time I approach a policeman, a fireman, or a city employee. I go like this: thank you for your service to our city, sir. And I think it would be wonderful if each one of our citizens were to do that, because we need to respect the people that work for us.
Katie, thank you very much. Two points. We're working hard on the grocery. There's a number of folks on the council all working on that. And I would tell you, just a couple weeks ago, we were in Mr. Newman's district, and there's going to be some great apartment projects that come up
off of apartments that are being torn down, and you're starting to see that throughout all the city. I think the people that are building them will put up against those folks anytime.
Good evening. My name is James Tony, and I'm at 4811 Duncanville Road, and I also like to thank the mayor and the council for giving us this opportunity to speak. I was recently also with City Councilman Atkins, and one of the things that I was so impressed with was his commitment and his passions and enthusiasm to build Oak Cliff specifically. There's a proverb that says, when there is no vision, the people perish. But one of the things that I've been in Dallas for about 4 years, one of the things that I have seen since I've been here is I've heard a lot of people talk about economic development. I'm all about economic development, but what we are in the process of doing is starting a leadership institute, development institute, because we feel there needs to be some type of link between economic development and education. And one of your key points was education. And I've heard a lot about economic development, but specifically, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but my young African-American male youth seem to be a nationwide problem. And if we've got all the economic development, I would love to be able to have some of our young African-American men to be able to enjoy some of that development. And so our process is to start basically from the womb to 12th grade, and we're working with some other organizations, with one particularly with Paul Quinn College. We hope that we're going to be able to do something with Mr. President Sorrell into having a feeder program so that we can develop a think tank for our young men, not only to be able to define and analyze the problem, but to also be a part of the solution.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. On the Paul Quinn, as Ms. Hill said, there's a number of folks on the council that are working hard on that effort, and just want to make that clear. We appreciate that very much. Terrific. On the education, I would also point out that, and you mentioned kind of from the womb to that, the city is introducing programs that range from early reading to scholarship programs to summer jobs, summer internship programs. Those are all being rolled out right now. With some pretty good success, at least early on. So we're conscious of those. And all of those programs have a very marginal cost to the city. In fact, it's close to zero. So we're real excited about that.
Just to clarify, there are several people who ask questions, and I know other people are probably interested in what were the responses. If maybe staff could post those responses and the questions on the website, so that way people interested from the public who see this can also get those. You know, for example, the conservation question was a very good question, and that deserves a response. And it affects a lot of people, so a lot of people are going to want to know what's going on with that.
Good suggestion. I appreciate it. And cards were passed out, so if you have other questions too, please get those, and we'll address those. With that, we'll turn to the items for individual consideration. These are individual action items. Madam Secretary, the first item.
Item number one is authorize 1, the acceptance of an economic development initiative grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for acquisition, planning, design, purchase of equipment, revitalization, redevelopment, or construction of the Dallas Fair Park Commercial District for the period of October 1, 2006 to September 30, 2013, and 2, execution of the grant agreement not to exceed $198,000.
Correct. Mr. Caraway moved it.
Mayor, can I second that? It's in District 7.
You sure can. Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, I'll bet Mr. Caraway would yield to you, and we'll make you the motion, and Mr. Caraway second. Does that work?
Yes.
Terrific. Any discussion?
Yes.
Please,
Mr. Council District, this is, I wonder why I said all. I guess it's just a typo here. Instead of Council District, it shows all.
On this particular grant, the original legislation that provided for the grant to be applied to was to enable anyone in the city to apply for it. And also, in the response to that grant, we were showing that the benefits were to derive to all of the city. It's just, it's styled that way because of the grant, how it was legislated, but certainly the intent is to have a project in District 7.
Just a suggestion, next time like this, we can put parentheses afterwards, 7. Why don't we do that?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any other discussion? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, the second item.
Item 2, authorize a public hearing to be held on March 26, 2008 to receive comments concerning the creation of City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone No. 70 located at property south of Beckley Mead Road and east of Hampton Road, and at the close of the hearing, consideration of 1. An ordinance creating City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone No. 70, a 90% real property tax abatement for 10 years with PCDFW I-22, LP, and number 3, a public infrastructure cost participation agreement of 30% for total public infrastructure costs in an amount not to exceed $442,932.
Thank you.
So moved.
So moved. Mr. Atkins moved it. Mr. Caraway seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, the third item.
Item 3, authorize a funding allocation to facilitate acquisition, environmental remediation, related demolition, and relocation costs of improved and unimproved properties along the Bedford Street Corridor Phase 2 Neighborhood Improvement Program, target area CT39.02/115.00 for mixed-use development.
Mr. Mayor?
Ms. Davis, please.
I would like to approve this item.
Okay. Ms. Davis moved it.
Second.
Mr. Atkins seconded it. Discussion, please?
Yes.
Mr. Rozanski, please.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Perkins, Tom, somebody in the city attorney's office.
He's coming.
Just want to make sure on this. AC, may I ask you to step up, please? Let me ask you, we're talking about environmental remediation. Who owns the fee on this property?
Jerry.
Oh, Jerry.
Yes.
Jerry, good evening, Jerry. Or good morning in a little while.
Oh, now, come on.
Who owns the fee on this property?
Well, it's not a specific property. It's any grouping of properties along an area on Bear Street south of 175. It's just that the use of the money, one of the uses of the money is for environmental containment.
Okay. Jerry, Tom, do you know what I'm going to be saying? Colleagues, as you know, I have been pushing. I don't want to see us. We've gotten in too much trouble. I don't want to see us owning property typically with environmental problems without putting it in a separate corporation, separate and apart from the city. Tom, I've asked you to check on this to get back because I don't want to see the city. You know, we paid out tens of millions of dollars in environmental cleanup, and I just want to make sure before we do anything, Jerry, I think you know where I'm leading from, that we don't get the city in a trap with any environmental problems.
Maybe I understand your question a little bit better now. Before we buy any of these properties,
right,
we do environmental work on the properties.
Do we do a phase two?
We do a phase two if the phase one calls for a phase two. And in the case of on Bear Street 1, on the north side of 175,
okay,
we had a particular property. And before we took title to that property, we made sure that the environmental piece was cleaned up. In this case,
okay,
with sunken gas tanks.
I want to make sure it's cleaned up. And let me tell you, phase one does tell you nothing. Phase one tells you if a cow went to the bathroom. But we need to be doing
a little bit more than that.
Not much more on a phase one. A phase two tells a lot more. But you do phase twos when you feel it's necessary.
Yes, sir, based upon the environment.
I want to make sure we do phase twos. But do we own the property when we do a phase two?
No, sir.
And the owner will let you do a phase two?
Yes, sir.
Great. I have no problem with it. Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, our fourth item.
Item 4, authorize a loan in the amount of $500,000 at zero interest to South Dallas Fair Park Inner City Community Development Corporation for the acquisition of improved and unimproved properties located within the 4700 through 4900 block of Spring Avenue and associated relocation, environmental remediation, or demolition costs for the purpose of constructing residential, retail, commercial, or mixed-use redevelopment.
Mayor,
I ask for
approval of this item.
It has been moved by Ms. Davis, seconded by Mr. Caraway. Discussion, please.
Yes.
Mr. Radeski.
AC or Jerry. This $500,000, which is from the bond funds, it has been approved by the city, but of course the city is looking to all of us to make sure everything is spent wisely. This is for acquisition of improved and unimproved. And let me ask you, if we do not get any type of residential, retail, commercial, or mixed-use development, first of all, who's going to own the property?
In this particular case, ICDC is going to have to own the property, but there will be triggers in there that where the money has to be spent within 2 years. They have to do development in a certain period of time.
Okay, so ICDC owns the fee.
Yes, sir.
And we're loaning, where we are giving them a loan, zero interest. Let's just call it a grant. They're not going to pay us back, are they?
That's not true, Mitch.
I'm just asking the question.
It is a zero interest rate loan.
Okay. Does it have a maturity date?
Yes, sir. It has a 7-year maturity date.
Okay. So we're going to give them this money. While they're cleaning it up, they submit bills to us, and we're going to be paying on bills submitted. Is this how we're doing
well,
it?
Well, we're going to be doing a couple of things. First of all, we're going to be assisting in the acquiring of the property.
Okay.
If it has structures on the property that we're acquiring, because it's all part of a master redevelopment plan, if there's structures on that property, then we'll be using the money for demolition.
Okay.
After the property is acquired.
Are we going to be carrying, or are they going to be giving the city a lien on it? Are we
oh,
going
yes,
to,
yes, sir.
So they're going to give us a deed of trust?
Yes, sir.
And if they're going to give us a deed of trust, do we do appraisals on it before we fund the money?
We have to, because according to statute, we cannot pay more than the appraised value on the property.
Listen, we're getting a deed of trust. The appraisals, I have no problem with it. Thank you.
Ms. Davis?
Thank you, Mayor. This is the type of development that is needed in the African-American community, and that is the South Dallas Fair Park area. Mitch, you know the problem that I have in that community. And these are deals that have to be done. This is not something where a developer just came into the area and said, I want to give $500,000 to the South Dallas Fair Park area. You know about ICDC, and you know all the work that's been done. I don't mind you asking these questions, but at least get with me, and at least give me the benefit of a doubt to answer you back. This is something that's needed in that community. It is something that is going to happen, and you know that ICDC is going to pay it back.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any objections?
No. Mr. Mayor, she asked me a question. I would like to answer.
And I think that's appropriate. I'm going to have the two of you get together.
No, sir. I would like to ask. She asked me this in public, and I think I'm entitled to give her an
10 seconds, please. We need to move on.
10 seconds?
10 seconds.
I think that's wrong, Mayor.
Please.
Let me tell you, I think we're here to ask questions, and if something was in my district, I would not mind you asking a question. I approved it. When it comes to $500,000, I just want to find out some questions. I've asked the questions, I got my answers, and I approved it. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, our fifth item.
Item 5, authorize an amendment to the Single Family Housing Infrastructure Development Bond Program Statement to clarify the city's participation structure to allow for pro rata payment to the developer of the city's portion of eligible infrastructure costs at the time of each qualified home buyer closing, and to further amend the Single Family Housing Infrastructure Development Bond Program statement to allow for pro rata payment to the developer of the city's portion of eligible infrastructure costs at the time of the closing of the sale of lots to a nonprofit entity.
Mr. Caraway has moved. Mr. Salazar seconded. Any discussion, please?
Yes.
Mrs. Rudansky.
Thank you. AC. And Jerry, this is a great program. I would really like for us to see what we can do to really push single-family ownership in the southern sector. Big time. Even I've discussed very briefly with Mary, even if we have to start looking at floating some $10 to $15 million bond issues to start some starter homes, $100,000 each. I just ran some figures on a $100,000 home. The payments are about $707 a month. You know, it's something we need to take a look at. I mean, why multifamily units and affordable housing is great for certain types, but we have to get single-family residents built in the southern sector with a pride of ownership. I think we need to look at this very strongly. We need to look at very strongly maybe floating a $10 or $15 million bond package. You know, just let's take a look at it. We need to take a look at it, how we can push some single-family ownership. I know, Jerry, you tried it 4, 5, 6 years ago. I don't know if it was successful. I remember there was one 50-lot development in West Dallas. I don't know how it went, or we sold some of them.
Yes, sir. We've used all of those, the bonds, the whole $8 million. We're in the final commitments on the end of that package. I agree with you, and I hope before you leave the council that you keep talking up more infrastructure.
I want to start talking about single-family ownership in this city. AC, we need to work on this.
And Mr. Zavsky, I'd point out to you earlier today, too, one of the elements that was there for the first time was that it was $20 million was the number, which was at least an initial proposal for the next bond program for exactly what you're talking about. And that
great.
Is
I just
trust size for single
I
family.
I just mentioned this to Ms. Soom an hour and a half ago. I was making some notes here. We need to get going on this and get a bond package. It can be sold in the open market. We also maybe need to take a look at if we can start doing our own carrying of these notes. We need to take a look at this.
We hear that. We're in total agreement, and we're looking at a number of different ways to see about getting that accomplished.
Call me. I'll give you some ideas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. And just 2 points on that, too.
I will report something like that.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Again, it's there. Well, it'll be in the context of the next bond program, but it's on the table now for the first time.
Great.
It could be a significant capital expenditure within the bond program, and again, a recycling for single family.
I didn't know that. Thank
I would say too, and Jerry, just 2 points that came up, I know, in the housing committee meeting with Mr. Salazar yesterday, and that was the idea of, as we do single family, trying to move as much as we can away from the one-off type of development,
right,
but where we can try to aggregate, try to get as contiguous as possible, 20, 30 lots, so we not only address the needs of an individual lot, but really try to create a community and a neighborhood. I know that's important, and I know you're working on it. So, it has been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, our sixth item.
Item 6, authorize a resolution declaring approximately 18 acres located near the intersection of St. Augustine and Elam Roads at 318 North St. Augustine Road unwanted and unneeded, and authorizing its conveyance to Dallas Neighborhood Alliance for Habitat, a city-certified community housing development organization, through the land transfer program.
So moved, Mayor.
So moved. So moved.
Mr. Atkins moved it. Ms. Hill seconded
it.
Mr. Kinski, do you have a comment?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question. okay. I must have missed that joke. Mr. Gonzalez, just a question on the background information. It says that they will seek to replat the property, you know, et cetera, and then it goes into talking about deed restrictions requiring that there be affordable housing for low moderate income persons remain in effect for 5 years. Or is that yours, Jerry? My question is that just the wording, or are they committed by contract in buying the property to actually replat it and develop the 71 single-family homes.
Yes, sir.
So it's more than just seek to.
It's in the contract.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? It has been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections? So order. Madam Secretary, our seventh item.
Item 7, authorize a participation agreement and private development contract with St. Andrews Housing, LLC, for street infrastructure development costs to support the development of a 71-lot single-family housing subdivision at 318 North St. Augustine Road.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Atkins moved it. Ms. Hill seconded it. Discussion, please. Again, just this is a good example of a 71 lots we're really creating in the community. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? So ordered. Our final item, Madam Secretary.
Item 8 is authorized and secured no interest forgivable loan pursuant to the Residential Development Acquisition Loan Program in the amount of $940,000 to Dallas Neighborhood Alliance for Habitat to pay part of the acquisition cost of 94 unimproved properties at I-20 and Bonneview for the development of low to moderate income single family homes.
I want to prove this item. I need to ask the chair.
Mr. Atkins has moved it. Mr. Caraway seconded discussion. Mr. Atkins, a question?
Jerry, on this habitat, is there a timeline when this developer can be completed?
No, sir. There is not a timeline as they have their home buyers prepared. We are expecting to have a 2.5 to 3 year build out of their particular houses. As you know, there's 70 something other lots in that same subdivision that are being built by private builders.
Well, what I would like for us to do is kind of monitor, you know, because sometimes they slow up and just give a report back, you know, within a year or 2 years, you know, what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Dr. Garcia, please.
Thank you. Mr. Hinesel, we discussed this item yesterday in the Housing Committee. You did mention that you will be looking on how many houses are developed and the money will be given as they develop. Am I correct about that?
That is correct. We only fund as the home buyers starts to take down the permanent mortgage on the house.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Terrific. Ms. Davis, please.
I have one question. It's on the whereas. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's a 7-paragraph down, where it says the unimproved property for Cedar Crest Ranch project in South Dallas.
Ms. Davis, just reference this where you are.
It's after the map.
The resolution.
The resolution.
Whereas, you know.
And the whereas.
Gotcha.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Whereas in December 2007. Down at the bottom, Jerry, where it says Cedar Crest Ranch Project in South Dallas. Cedar Creek Ranch.
It's in
20. Is that south? I just want to get...
It's south by 20.
Okay. Are we going to say Southern Dallas? Because I don't want that to get confused with South Dallas.
It's right. Okay.
It's at this rate.
Okay, we'll just say Southern Dallas.
It's at this rate then.
Okay.
Any other discussion? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered.
Mayor, if I might just comment.
Please,
these last actions, I believe we put them all together to help demonstrate that the projects that we're trying to develop, that are using the resources of the city in combination with the private sector working together as partners to develop single-family houses. And they're also, in each one of these projects, a combination of not only looking at the lowest income, but mixed income as well. Earlier there was a conversation about how we're going to be mixing retail along with that housing and other types of development that we're working on right now. Hopefully these actions give a sense that we're really moving that ball forward and gaining again on that momentum that we are so desperately needing to keep going in this particular area of the city.
Good point. Appreciate it. Mr. Atkins?
Brad, I would like to say one thing. The project on Eland and St. Augustine is a great project. It's in a wood area, you know, which we do need mixed development, mixed use homes there. And when the 71 homes is built, we have a developer, I believe, AC, who is in the process of buying the shopping center in late June for the good development. Is that correct? Right. And also the homes on 20 on the Cedar Creek is also a development that was short, that was because of the loans, the economics, that it have been revitalized because some developers have decided that they want to go back over there into the development. So it's a good infusion of the housing.
Yep.
And there, thank you.
Again, it changes neighborhoods. We'd like to thank the staff. Clearly coming out was a burden. It resulted in additional work. The staff was terrific. We appreciate everybody coming out, and especially thank you to all the citizens of Dallas. We appreciate that. As we said, this is an effort to try to bring City Hall out into our community. We would love to have your comments either directed at any of us on the City Council or the City staff. We appreciate you being with us. We're adjourned. Thank you.
This meeting is adjourned at 9:30.